Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, August 22nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, authorities said yesterday that they have charged a man living in the United States illegally with murder in the death of an Iowa college student who disappeared a month ago while jogging in a rural area. 24-year-old Christian Bahena Rivera was charged with murder in the death of Molly Tibbetts. Investigators say they used surveillance video in tracking down Rivera. The video showed 20-year-old Tibbetts jogging in a rural area near her hometown of Brooklyn, as well as Rivera's car. Police announced the charge at a press conference just hours after they found what they believed to be the body of Tibbetts in a field covered with corn stalks. Tibbetts was last seen on July 18th in Brooklyn, a rural town about 1,400 people, as she took a routine evening jog. It's unclear whether she returned to the home where she was dog-sitting for her boyfriend and her boyfriend's brother, who both were out of town. She was reported missing by her family the next day after she didn't show up for work at a day camp for children. Tibbetts' disappearance set off a massive search involving dozens of officers from the FBI as well as state and local agencies. They focused much of their efforts in and around Brooklyn, searching farm fields, ponds, and homes. Tibbetts, a psychology major, would have been a junior this year, starting this week, actually, in Iowa City, about 50 miles east of Brooklyn. She was staying with her longtime boyfriend and working while home from school over the summer. This is also a sad story. A three-year-old and a one-year-old boy survived alone for about 2 days after they were passengers in a single car wreck that killed their mother in South Arkansas. The older boy was found first wandering alone on Monday morning along a road in Camden, about 85 miles southwest of Little Rock. Authorities posted the boy's photo online in hopes of identifying him and learned that his mother hadn't been seen for days. Later Monday, police returned to the area where the boy was found and discovered a wrecked car in a deep ravine not visible from the road. Authorities found the body of the boy's mother, who had been ejected from the car, and his one-year-old brother, who was awake and alert in the car seat.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, investigators believe the wreck happened 2 days earlier and that the boy was able to climb out of the wreckage. The toddler's survival is even more remarkable given the heat over the weekend. They said temperatures reached well into the 90s.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a miracle.
The younger boy was taken to Arkansas Children's Hospital to be treated for dehydration, but his condition isn't life-threatening, authorities said. A Roman Catholic priest was charged on Tuesday with groping a 17-year-old girl and sending her nude images of himself just a week after a grand jury reported the church had covered up decades of child molestation by priests across the state. The charges of felony corruption of minors and misdemeanor indecent assault against 30-year-old Kevin Longergan were not a result of the landmark grand jury investigation, but stemmed from a complaint filed in June after the grand jury had finished its work, authorities said. This is at least the second case of possible priest abuse being investigated in the Allentown Diocese since the grand jury finished the report, which identified 301 predator priests in a half a dozen Pennsylvania dioceses, including 37 in Allentown going back to the 1940s. Authorities have charged just two priests as a result of the grand jury investigation, including a priest who has since pleaded guilty. But because of time limits in state law of the prosecution of old cases, the Attorney General Josh Shapiro said that those two were the only priests named in the report that his office could charge. Some of those named were prosecuted years ago, and more than 100 are dead. Allentown Diocese officials immediately reported the matter to law enforcement, and Longergan has been removed from active ministry. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are young.
Andrew Stevenson and Wilmer Defoe hit back-to-back home runs in a five-run sixth inning, and the Nationals rallied past the Phillies 10-4 last night in Washington, hours after the Nats traded Daniel Murphy and Matt Adams. Stevenson, who was recalled from AAA Syracuse earlier in the day and had to drive to D.C. because no flights were available, tied the game with his first career home run, a two-run pinch-hit shot to center. The loss pushed the Phillies two games behind the Atlanta Braves for first place in the National League East. The series in Washington continues tonight. Zach Eflin will start for the Phillies. Steven Strasburg will pitch for the Nats. The game time is at 7:05. Eagles quarterback Nick Foles will play in Thursday night's preseason game against the Cleveland Cavaliers, according to Coach Doug Peterson. Foles injured his throwing shoulder last week against the New England Patriots after being hit by defensive end Adrian Claiborne in the second quarter. Foles clutched his arm as he went to the turf and did not return to the game. Meanwhile, receiver Alshon Jeffrey remains on the physically unable to perform list and is unlikely to make an appearance this preseason. Receiver Nelson Aguilar and running back Jay Ajayi are dealing with lower body injuries and are day-to-day. Kickoff in Cleveland tomorrow night is at 8 o'clock, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. Yay. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kath. We got more for you this morning as well. A few things to get to. Today, we're going to go live on Fox Good Day. I think I still have some makeup left over from our shoot yesterday.
I had some get in my eyes yesterday.
You too?
Yeah.
Steve, you wore makeup?
I'm at home.
Why are my eyes burning?
Why are my eyes watering?
Yeah.
And what kind of makeup was it?
We had a whole makeup staff.
Yeah, there was a staff here.
There was five or six girls.
They were amazing.
They were wonderful.
They were a lot of fun.
But I was worked on. Like I didn't have that many people over me when I had surgery.
But Steve, I'm sitting around. I'm like later today. I'm like, I haven't seen excess pollen. It's been raining so much, and my eyes are burning. You know, they're kind of puffy and they're wet. And later on, hours later, I'm like, the makeup. I'm like, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Just not used to it. Oh, how do you girls do it?
Also, how do you girls do it?
Well, and also, you're supposed to take it off.
Yeah, I don't know.
Listen,
I don't know that.
Besides that, it was so light, you know.
Yeah,
They gave me eyebrows and the perception that I'm in some way human. Yeah, well, they just did.
They just touch up.
They did just touch up, but it was so subtle. You didn't like walk by a mirror. It's not like TV makeup.
No.
Where you go, holy Christ, what's wrong with you? Yeah.
Right. It's to keep from shining in in photos.
You're not that aware of it.
We had a company-wide headshots we had to get done, and I'm so glad you said that. Yeah. I told Rochelle, I'm in the other side of the house, and I go, oh, like that. And she's like, what? And I'm like, I just figured out why my eyes have been watering and burning.
Goddamn makeup.
Oh, that's funny, Steve. Oh, my gosh. All right, but anyway, so maybe there's still a little bit of pancake left on for our Fox Good Day appearance. We'll do that later.
We're basically doing the walk of shame with the makeup from yesterday.
Smeared,
holding our shoes in our hands.
Mascara all over and whatnot.
What a night.
But nonetheless, we're good to go for it today. We have a secret text word today. We have your chance to win tickets as MMR presents Godsmack and Shinedown with Red Sun Rising. It's a BB&T Pavilion on Sunday. Text word secret to 39333. And let's see if you can win. And by the way, listen to Brent Porsche. He's in for Jackson all week. He's got chances to win and qualify you for a meet and greet with Shinedown, which is pretty damn cool.
Nice.
Super nice guy, by the way. So text the word secret to 39333. We'll see if you win a little bit later on. We'll ask for the designated caller to give us a word that we bounce back to you, and we'll do a random text or two. So a couple of different ways to win. And speaking of winning, Marissa Magnata out and about tonight. It is yet another Miller Lite London Calling with the Green Legion. Preston and Steve in London, England tour taking place.
Oh, my God. Yes.
And somebody's going with us.
Yeah.
And we have your chance to win a trip to do this. And there are various appearances that are going on, courtesy of our friends from Miller Lite. And tonight, Marissa and the MM Army will be at Destination Dog, which is at 1111 Walnut in Philly. And Miller Lite specials will be taking place. And while you're there, make sure you grab a ticket. And if you're randomly chosen, you'll be one of our finalists to come and possibly win the trip to London. Must be present to win. Heads up on that. And it's a good time because I think if you're also one of the finalists, you do win tickets to an Eagles home game.
Nice.
Correct. So very cool tonight. And listen, we're only doing 12 of these. Yeah. So get out to as many of them as possible. And you could be with us in London, England for a live broadcast as we do that in October. It's pretty cool.
Those kind of odds are much better than you against every listener of the show.
Totally.
I mean, it's really good.
Yep. So make sure you get out there. It's a Destination Dog tonight. Oh, and that'll be from 7 to 9, by the way. We have one more slot to fill for the Bitch Box Party, which is tomorrow night. Kathy's Bitch Box Part 2 and the Zeta Eta Pi Sorority. So you'll have to listen at some point this morning.
Yes.
We'll give that away.
I just never realized how huge these things are because I mean,
the Bitch Box?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This are is just, oh, just requesting out the ass.
Me too.
This thing. Yeah.
Well, yesterday, Angela Perfetto from our calendar comes walking in. She came in to do Marissa's makeup
for the
headshots. And she comes walking in. The first thing's like, can I get a Bitch Box?
Bitch Box. Now. Actually, she was like, Bitch Box now.
Bitch box now. Is that what
she
said? So my wife wants one, and I'm like, look, you gotta come to the event. And
yeah.
That's the way it works. So we will have your opportunity to win one last time today. So listen up for your chance to grab that. All right, those things and more taking place during the course of the show. Let's take a break. Come back in a moment. Stupid question and the entertainment report is on the way. If you're with us regularly, you know this stuff. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut or IHateStevenSinger.com.
Hey, gang, it's Preston. Listen, these days, you know how it is. You can get practically everything you want on demand. I mean, it's like our podcast. You listen whenever you want, when it's convenient for you. But did you know that you can even get postage on demand? Hey, all you need is Stamps.com. What is that? Well, I'm here to tell you, friends, with Stamps.com, you can access all the services of the post office and do it right from your desk. All available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You just click, you print, you mail, and you're done, my friend. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale so you can weigh your letters and packages and print the exact amount of postage every single time. Here's what you got to do to get it all, gang. Right now, use Gadzooks for a special free offer. They have a four-week trial that includes postage and the digital scale. So don't wait on this. You want to check it out now. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in the word Gadzooks. Once again, that's Stamps.com and enter Gadzooks. Check this out.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, stupid question this morning, giving away tickets to see Tom Segura, and he is going to be playing at the Miriam Theater November 16th and 17th, three shows over the course of 2 days. Thank you to Casey for all these awesome trivia questions that he gave me for stupid question. And I think I'm going to go with this one. This is interesting. So, before Harambe?
Yes.
In 2016, the gorilla?
Yes.
This lion in Zimbabwe gained recognition after he was killed by a dentist from Minnesota. What was the lion's name?
I remember that clearly. Absolutely. Yeah.
What was the lion's name? I never would have gotten this. 215-263-WMMR.
Pretty good, bro.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate that, press.
So
thank you, P-Buds.
All now. Let's see if you know the answer. I'm going to go through some birthdays. Today is Wednesday, August 22nd. We were just talking about Kristen Wiig yesterday.
Yes.
It's her birthday today.
Ah.
She is 45 years old.
We were talking about how she's playing Cheetah in the new Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah.
No, Wonder Woman's main nemesis.
I thought it was her birthday the other day.
Yeah, it was. That's why we were talking about her the other day is because you said it was her birthday.
Yeah. We were talking about it last time. No,
I think I brought up her birthday and you had said... she's in the, I just saw her in the poster for
really?
Wonder Woman. Yeah.
All right, we need to do some digging. Our investigative news department, Kathy, we're putting you on it.
Okay.
I think we're, it says here she was born August 22nd.
Was it a particularly long birth?
Sometimes there, maybe.
So long.
Maybe it happened, you know, right at the.
At the cusp
at the midnight.
Of, yes.
At the stroke of midnight. And,
Marissa, can we check the tape
was,
on that?
She was halfway right. out.
Exactly.
At 2 seconds till and then came
let
all
it breathe.
The way out.
Yeah.
At 2 seconds after.
You're going to want to let that breathe a little bit. Then
anyway, she's 45 today. Vernon Reed,
yes.
guitarist for Living Color, who has appeared at the Camp Out for Hunger.
One of my favorite memories of all the Camp Out for Hungers. Their yep. performance. Loved it.
They were badass, man. And he can shred. He is 60 years old today, Mr. Vernon Reed.
Casey, who in the band was really good at Papa Shot?
Oh, that was, I'm sorry, I'll answer. It was Will Calhoun.
Okay.
The drummer.
Does he still have the title?
Yeah.
He rocked the Papa Shot.
Yes.
It was like 82 or so, 82 points or something like that.
I thought maybe he might be a cyborg because I've never seen a score like that before or after.
Yeah, he was killing it. He's a great drummer, too. Everybody in that band's fantastic. Singer and songwriter Tori Amos is 55 years old.
Emotionally wrought.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Rides the piano side saddle.
Yeah.
Some of her stuff is good. I don't think you could listen to an entire concert of that without wanting to. You did you?
I went to a concert.
What was it like?
It was like that.
Like that, okay.
I mean, I was young, so I don't remember all of it. But, yeah, I just remember being like, this isn't as fun as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. She's a dynamic performer, but the songs are...
All of them are like that.
Yeah, they're a little deep and they're a little down. Yeah.
And, you need one electric slide.
Yeah, I saw her. She did a Sonic session, a recording session that we used to record with Y100. And she was really good, but that's only like five songs, you know?
Yeah.
So that was enough.
Take that.
And she was really nice.
I went to one where it was only one song and we waited. Not with Tori Amos, but similar, Fiona Apple.
Yeah.
We waited for an hour.
One song?
She came out and she didn't even do Criminal. She did Never as a Promise.
I don't even remember that song.
No. Never mind. I don't even want to get into it. But
Fiona Apple.
That was a beautiful song, though.
Tori Amos is 55 today. David Chase, the man who brought you The Sopranos.
Yes.
He is 73 years old today.
His career was writing for TV shows throughout the years. Remember that old series, Kolchak, The Night Stalker? Called Kolchak, The Vampires and all that stuff. He started writing on shows like that years and years and years ago.
Celebrating his 73rd birthday today. Cindy Williams, who was Shirley Feeney. On Laverne and Shirley.
She was great. Her and Penny Marshall as a duo with the physical comedy and the verbal stuff, they were really, really damn good.
Yeah. So Bam Bam called me this morning, and he told me that it was her birthday today. And then
going to find out?
Like, I wasn't going to find out, but then also, he's like, I'm going to play it tonight. I'm going to say Shavazo Fazizel. I was like...
That's what you say at a bris.
Shavazo Fazizel.
I mean, he says Iron Hill Brewery, you know.
Regular English is going to be difficult.
Shlemiel Schlamazel, Hasa Pfeffer Incorporated. He's like, how'd you know that?
She plays basically, she and Ron Howard and Laverne and Shirley obviously debuted on Happy Days, but they're both in American Graffiti as boyfriend and girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. She's celebrating her 71st birthday today. Now, you got to help me with the name here. I always mess it up. It's a Mr. Echo from Lost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, AAA.
Edawale.
Anamame.
Ekanoye. Agbaje. I don't remember how to say it.
Thankfully, his career is on the skid, so you don't have to say it a lot.
We played back that interview when we had him and Kit Harington in studio.
Oh, with the for Pompeii.
Yep.
Which is a crappy, fun movie.
By the way, at the White Dog Cafe the other night, the Alpha Bravo canine event, one of the dogs was named Mr. Echo.
Oh, really?
That was a cool name.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a cool name for a dog. He was also in Oz, and he plays Killer Croc in Suicide Squad as well.
Yeah.
He's 51. And the last birthday I saw is actor Rodrigo Santoro. And you know him from Love Actually.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that almost ends up with Laura Linney, but not quite. He's in 300. He was in Lost as well, and he's on the show Westworld.
He plays the big
Xerxes. Or is it Xerxes?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, 300.
Okay. Hey, do you want to go back to the tape of Kristen Wiig's birthday yesterday?
Please,
sure.
All right, here you go.
All right, this is it. She's 29 today. Kristen Wiig, I love her.
So a picture of, if you look at that 19, there's a picture that they did of that.
This was yesterday?
This is yesterday.
Oh, my God.
It was just a long birth. I think that's it. It's not impossible.
It could have been.
She started giving birth.
Okay. So it was her birthday yesterday
and today.
Both yesterdays.
Happy birthday. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. So before Harambe in 2016, this lion in Zimbabwe gained recognition after he was killed by a dentist from Minnesota. What was the lion's name, not the dentist's name? 215-263-WMMR. Let's try Keegan out. Hi, Keegan. Good morning.
Hey, sorry to bother you guys at work.
You're all good, my man. Tell me the name of that lion, please.
Cecil.
That's it, Cecil.
Yeah. Hang on a second, Keegan. You got it right. And we got a pair of tickets as Live Nation presents the talented Tom Segura, the hilarious comedian with a new Netflix special, Mostly Stories. And Tom's he's got three shows at the Mirren Theater November 18th and 17th. I'm sorry, 16th and 17th with a 10 p.m. show on the 17th. Just add, you can get tickets at KimmelCenter.org or at the Kimmel box office. All right, so got a couple of heavy stories to begin with. Harvey Weinstein, heavy on a couple levels.
Yeah.
He's just a large man.
So like a deuce 60.
And he is being sued by a woman who claims that he raped her at the Cannes Film Festival in 2006. We had already touched on this the other day. Attorneys for Emma Lohman, a resident of Germany who has worked as a producer, actor, and model, filed a civil complaint on Monday. The allegations are similar to the ones that have followed. If you follow the Weinstein story, it begins with his dogged pursuit of the alleged victim, is followed by an alleged attack, and is concluded with the Oscar-winning producer ending her career.
I still can't believe that, like, rape is being, you know, like, that's what he did.
Yeah. Generally, the suit claims that he violated human trafficking laws. Remember, we hit this a few days ago. And is accusing him of assault, battery, and false imprisonment. The suit seeks compensatory damages of $75,000 as well as punitive damages. Lohman claims in her suit that Weinstein's pursuit was relentless, including having his assistant call Lohman up to 30 times a day.
Wow.
And that he told her, quote, that it would be important for him and the Weinstein company that she attend the festival as his guest so that they could discuss her acting career. She adds that to the Weinstein company, he paid for her flights and accommodation, which I think is where the trafficking comes in.
Yep.
When she went to his hotel suite nominally to discuss upcoming roles, Weinstein quickly dropped his professional demeanor. He instead overpowered her and apparently took advantage of her. During the alleged rape, the suit claims Weinstein bragged that he had recently received a negative result from an HIV test as well.
Woo, woo, hoo.
And then he apparently removed his protection and continued to violate
slob. So what a disgusting slob.
That's just another one that they're throwing on the pile against him. Yeah. I wonder when these will, you know, when this all starts to really culminate in charges and things like that.
Because
Court.
It looks like, my guess is a number of guilty verdicts will start to come out in these various things, and they're going to start stockpiling them. So he'll be serving time for concurrent cases.
Now, off of that, Asia Argento is speaking out about allegations that she sexually assaulted a 17-year-old boy in 2013. The 42-year-old said that she never had any sexual relationship with this person, Bennett. And that, in fact, her late boyfriend, Anthony Bourdain, had helped her pay him to end his, quote, longstanding persecution of her. In a statement reported first by journalist Yashar Ali, she says Bourdain considered Bennett dangerous and believed a $380,000 payout to him was a way to deal compassionately with Bennett's demand for help after he unexpectedly made an exorbitant request of money from me. She said that she was deeply shocked and hurt by having read news that is absolutely false, a reference to a New York Times report detailing Bennett's allegations.
Right.
TMZ notably claims that they have seen a post-sex selfie and texts in which Argento contradicts herself on the subject. I haven't seen those yet.
No.
I guess they have just heard
that they had them or claim to have them.
If they have them, then they'll probably release them, I would think. So
now, TMZ likes to keep that stuff secret, right?
Right, yeah. And following that up, Rose McGowan, usually a fierce critic of anyone accused of assault, has found herself in a tricky situation as one of Weinstein's accusers and one of Argento's close friends. On Twitter, after the story detailing the allegations against Argento broke, McGowan wrote, "None of us know the truth of the situation, and I'm sure more will be revealed."
Jeez.
"Be gentle," she said. But some people have slammed her for, you know, double standards. And, you know, we'll have to see how this plays out.
Yeah. It's a quagmire.
Some lighter stuff. Twitter empress Chrissy Teigen shared details from her daughter's first day at school. And naturally, it involves a little projectile vomit. And it was from Chrissy, I believe.
She's not pregnant, is she?
No, she's not. But she said, "Hello, everyone, from Luna's school orientation today." This is on Twitter, she wrote. "I'm sorry I projectile puked caffeine upon arrival. Couldn't open my eyes and had the noisiest newborn in the room. Not a joke. Very sorry. See you tomorrow." And no, she didn't lose her cookies because she's nervous. She said it was last night's wine and Korean barbecue and jet lag combo.
There you go.
Somebody had, I guess, asked her on Twitter, sure you're not Prego? And she responded, please, Lord, not right now.
She just gave birth.
Yeah, they just welcomed Miles in May. So I don't think she's turning around. And
what is the turnaround rate usually? What's the...
I don't know, like Irish twins, man? It
can be pretty quick.
10 months.
Uh-huh, yeah. So
it's just, which, like, can you imagine?
Can you just please give your girlfriend or wife's... I mean, a break.
Right. I mean, just as the baby's coming out, you're crawling up on top again.
I know you have wants and needs, but geez.
Hey, Hillary Swank apparently married Philip Schneider.
Schneider!
At the St. Lucia Preserve in Carmel, California. This is like it happened without big announcement or anything like that. This is according to a statement. Her dress, made of Chantilly lace.
Ooh, and a ponytail.
She's got a pretty face. Silk chiffon and organza silk was designed by Ellie Saab Haute Couture Atelier, whatever that means. The tulle veil was T-U-L-L-E.
Tulle, yeah.
Tulle? Is that a color?
No, it's a fabric, a material.
All right. The tulle veil was 19 feet long.
Wow.
Whoa. And she said, I've loved Ellie Saab for years and was thrilled to have him design my dress. Oh, okay. She told Vogue of the dress, which was inspired by redwood trees.
She said the entire cast of The Next Karate Kid was there.
Oh, that was nice. So the dress was inspired by redwood trees. She said, I wanted something romantic that felt as timeless as the redwood grove where we were to be married, and he delivered.
I love you.
Designing something that far surpassed my greatest expectations.
You're wearing a tulle. Right?
Yes.
This wedding picture, though, is pretty badass. You got, unless it's, I assume it's CGI or something or a green screen or whatever. But if it's out there and they actually caught this moment, it's pretty amazing. You got kind of like a Jacob's Ladder light situation coming through the trees.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's beautiful. Double rainbow.
Double. Oh, my God. What does it all mean?
What does it all mean?
So she said he delivered, designing something that far surpassed.
Your love is like the trees. That's all I got.
Well, I'm sorry, you have to go on. How is it like the trees?
Old Parky.
Tall, and there's squirrels in it.
There's squirrels in my love?
I don't know.
So she said that, it far surpassed my greatest expectations. It was everything I imagined and more.
She also took the opportunity to remind people that her ex, Chad Lowe, was an alcoholic.
Mm. Law & Order SVU star Mariska Hargitay.
Oh, she was there.
Was the maid of honor, actually.
What?
She was the maid of honor.
Yeah.
Mariska Hargitay.
They're buddies. Cool.
The pair began dating in 2016 when the actress called off her engagement to Ruben Torres. So she got married.
What has she been up to acting-wise lately? Not a lot, right?
Do not know. You'd have to ask Nick on that. Nick?
So, Steve, there's a show. Oh, you know what I heard about? The show called Trust. I don't know what channel it was on, but it was about the Gettys.
Oh,
the
that Getty is family. Right. Yes, yeah.
So she played one of the matriarchs in that. And then she's got a new movie that comes out later this year that's called I Am Mother. And
Hear Me Roar?
Yeah.
Is there a sequel to Million Dollar Baby by any chance?
There is not.
Okay. Yeah. I'd like to see that.
They pull that
like
off.
Cyborg. They pull it back up.
And she was in Logan Lucky as well. So she's acting. She's
there we go. Okay. Yeah. And then the next Karate Kid.
Mm. Right.
Kim Kardashian is close to settling her legal battle with Vibes Media, which accused her of ripping off their design for her fragrance line. According to court documents, Vibes is requesting a hearing to be postponed to next month. It was scheduled for this month. The documents claim Kardashian's lawyers have been in touch and that they are discussing settlement positions. In their original suit, Vibes claims that KKW has been marketing, promoting, and is now selling a Vibes perfume. The Vibes perfume comes in a bottle that is a close facsimile of the registered Vibes logo.
They're saying too close for comfort. Now, I assume KKW is Kim Kardashian West.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, and that's her brand.
That's her brand. Okay, all right.
So they're saying that that she has ripped off their logo, and that they want that taken care of.
So I was watching Kris Jenner on a show called Objectified, and so they talk about her life and her whole thing, and they had a video clip of her with Kylie at the moment Kylie's product line for her lips started going. And within minutes, the line had sold out, and she had made, in the time that they're just sort of standing there, about $30 million.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, dear mother of God.
I weep for America.
Yeah.
Right? I mean.
It's yeah. There, and here we are, folks.
Morning, guys.
Yeah.
You had stuff on the printer this morning.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I was having issues with my printer.
Yeah. I don't get it because it seems to me, and it's probably because I hang out with, you know, older people, that, like, more people hate them than anything.
Yeah, but
you know,
they're influencers. They are the epitome of influencers.
And especially if you look at the young girl market,
right.
You know what I mean?
Me.
It's just, you know, grabbing what's hot and there you go. And yeah, and it's social
fame
media.
Fame by association,
has
right?
A lot to do with that now, yeah.
I remember a young girl, she was like, I don't even know that she was 21 at the time, but it was when Jersey Shore was in, and she went to one of their events, and she was like, oh my God, this is like my life. This is, I'm so excited. And I couldn't believe that that's how she was talking about the Jersey Shore cast. Like,
yeah.
You know, we watched it as like, what a train wreck. She watched it and...
Yeah, it's a tween thing.
Yes.
Is what it is. And I see... listen, I haven't seen the demographics on who's buying these products, but I gotta guess it's in that range.
Right.
And I'll guarantee you, people move out of the Kardashian realm. You talk about the tweens, and then they move into Real Housewives realm.
Yeah. Mm.
So
yeah.
If they like that. So there's... They have programming to take them all through.
You're right.
Yeah. But, like,
you're totally
right. If you were to go back to, like, our earlier 20s, and it was like Real World, right?
Yeah,
But those people didn't know how to monetize their efforts. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
It was pre-social media.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get out and do it on their own. They needed help. They needed other. You know what I mean?
But yeah. Now, oh God, yeah.
Now you can promote your own, Marissa.
I just realized you guys are describing half my friends.
Yeah.
Really? They all watch these. Yeah, I was actually.
Oh, then I hate all of your friends.
I only said half of them.
Okay. Well, I already hated the other half. No, I'm just kidding.
I got caught in a conversation. I always get caught in Real Housewives conversations, but I got caught in one about the Kardashians, where they're talking about how Kourtney doesn't want to be on the show this season.
Yes, she does.
And the whole episode
really?
Is about her. Like,
how old are these people?
34. No,
wow.
They might be like 29 to 31. They might be on the younger side of the gang.
Okay. I'm trying to think. You know what? And yeah, so listen, around... Yeah, when I was like 27, 28 years old, I was deep into Real World and Road Rules and all that stuff.
There was actually, Preston, years and years and years before that, there was a series on PBS called An American Family. I think it was The Loud Family. It was the first time you saw anything like that, where the cameras were in the house. You know, nothing had been done like that before. The couple ended up getting divorced. They had kids. You know, the one kid was, this had to be in the 70s.
Did they live in a regular house or did they
regular house? Their own house.
Yeah.
In fact, Albert Brooks did a parody of it called Modern Life.
Mm-hmm.
And his suggestion was you can't ever be normal when there are cameras around.
Right.
As much as you think.
This was when, Stephen, the 70s?
This was in the 70s, yeah.
Okay.
An American Family. And that sort of set all of this verite, we're just going to let the cameras roll and see what happens, things in motion.
Yeah.
My version of that was James at 16.
James at 16?
I thought that was
I
real.
I love that show.
I was well past their
desired demo,
you
but
know,
I love that show.
There's Canada flirted with stuff like that, too. And believe it or not, Alex Lifeson of Rush was on there's old footage of him as a teenager saying, I don't want to go to college. I'm not going to blah, 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 and all this.
What was the name of the show?
I don't remember. I've only seen clips of it. It may have been a documentary, but
it was
just being around
and
letting the cameras roll. And it was very, very interesting.
Do you think
the family dynamic?
Do you think, all right, so we have a general disdain for this stuff, but do you think you could pull off cameras around? If the charge was, Preston, we really need you to just be you around the house and do what you're going to do. Could you open up the floodgates and just be you as much as you can be? I could not do it.
Not with people manning the cameras. If you mounted cameras. And just and they were autonomous,
right?
Maybe so, because you'd forget about it after a while, and then you do something really stupid.
But they have some cameras, but like they do have.
I don't know if you forget about it.
I see moving cameras.
Yeah.
I see cameras that are apparently following the action.
I just don't know, Preston, if you would forget about it. I think your brain would always remember that they're like so. For instance, and you joked about it on our show. But the time where you bugged out about folding socks, right? You had that not Bilbo Baggins or whatever that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Bilbo
yeah.
Baggins moment. If which is funny, and the we all have thing. It, yeah, and you're right. allowed to kind of lose your crap every now and again. Uh-huh. But if there was a camera on you at all times, I don't think you would allow yourself to have a moment like that.
Or would you amp it up because you're creating great? Because I'm watching right now our former calendar girl. You know, calendar legend and Hooters Hall of Famer Brittany is mm-hmm. on Very Cavalier.
Right.
So believe it or not, I've been watching Very Cavalier along the way. And you're sitting there knowing what we know because they came to us a few times, local production companies, and wanted to do a reality show based on this show.
Right.
And we're like, but they call it, you know, sculpting.
Yeah, well, there's people there. That's the thing. Not just the camera people. There's a producer or a director that happens to be there. So I think it's a totally different story. And, yes, it's an amped-up version of what you'd normally be doing or a subdued version of what you might
be doing. I don't think I could even do it on a performance basis.
We're loaded with cameras in here. I forget about them all the time. You know, I think I'd go about my business if they were just mounted in the house and you never knew when they were going to be filming.
What if these were in the office?
In the other room.
Yeah. You wouldn't remember. You
I
would
don't know.
Forget.
Yeah, I think I'd forget.
Thank God for Nick Murphy, and he texts us.
Is he rolling when we're off air?
Of course he is.
He watches us from home.
Yes, he does. It's like that movie Sliver with Billy Baldwin and Sharon Stone.
Nick, what was the name of the Alex Lifeson?
It was called Come on Children.
Come on Children.
Yeah.
It's
called
Time to Buy a T-Row.
No. Meaning, come on, children.
Yes, that's a better way of putting it.
Come on.
Come on, Eileen. Try not to go to the pedophilia stuff.
I mean, it's called Come On, Children.
Who wouldn't? Yeah. Come on. It's ridiculous. Right, so
that's the...
Come on.
Come on, children.
Let me just put that in my phone. Yes, I like to, call you about your show. It was misleading. It was very misleading.
Bill just on Monday just
literally
went off on
you. And you lasted a couple hours.
Are you kidding? Listen, that's the title of the show.
Low hanging fruit.
You're so getting in trouble today.
Okay.
Oh, my back hurts.
I'm moving on.
I don't. In all seriousness, I would be curious to see a bit of this. To see, it's like that footage they have of Jim Morrison when he was in those ROTC commercials.
Yeah, it's totally different.
It's crazy.
It's funny because I did see Alex Lifeson reacting to this in the Rush documentary Beyond the Light of Stage, where he's watching the video of himself and he's going, "I'm not going to college. What's that going to give me?" Blah blah blah. His parents are going, "Look, we just want the best for you, everything." And Alex, he goes, "You know what? I was wrong and they were right." And, even though he went on to have this insanely successful career, he's like, "They were right. It would have been safer to go about that way. I took a chance. I got lucky," and so on and so forth.
And kudos to him for being able to give them their due.
Had he seen it before that documentary, or was this
I don't know, probably, but it had been a long time, you could tell, since he had seen it. Okay, moving on. Uh-huh. Let's talk about...
This is a show on your network. It's very misleading.
I was bored.
I specifically came home early from the victory tour.
Oh, my God.
And it was not what I was promised.
Come on, children, is the name of the...
Come Jackie. On.
Okay, so Ben Affleck, his rumored new love interest, Shauna Sexton, was photographed out Monday following a sleepover with the 46-year-old Batman.
Is that what you call it when you're that age? You want to come over for a sleepover?
Right. The 22-year-old Playboy model.
I want to do squat thrusts on your face.
She looked stunning in a white sundress as she walked her dog and grabbed brunch in L.A. The pair were first connected. I know.
It's so funny when you report on that stuff.
The pair were...
Do you menstruate?
Oh. She looks stunning, but everything I've seen her in on the skirt level has to be just 1 degree south of the pubes. Because she really likes to take risks.
Mm-hmm. The pair was first connected on a date last Thursday at Nobu.
Yeah.
Nick's been there.
I've been there.
Mm-hmm. Following their night out.
Mr. McElwain is coming. I'm sorry. Mr. Hanks, can you finish up and leave? He is on the radio show, Preston and Steve in Philadelphia, and we want to make a good impression.
I closed that place, man. I milked that for as much as I possibly could. It was the most expensive dinner I've ever bought.
So once you're done cleaning out the fryolators?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Nick got a cut the line pass from Rob McElwain.
I did, yeah.
Who called and got a favor.
Rob helped.
Nick, besides the perceived impression that it's one of the trendy places, is the food worth it?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, like, I like sushi, but, I mean, it was really one of the best dinners I've ever had in my life, and the server was, like, couldn't have been cooler. It was a really cool experience. It was a very expensive experience, but it was worth it.
I'm going to leave you $10. Thank you, Mr. McElwain.
Do you have a reservation for Mr. Hamilton?
Following their night out...
I think you know what I mean.
Following their night out...
oh, look, his buddy George Washington has shown up.
Affleck's ex, Lindsay Shookus...
Shookus!
...deleted her Instagram page.
I feel bad for Lindsay Shookus because apparently they had gone to that step where they were house hunting and they were going to move in together, and then that's what happens. A playmate in a very short skirt comes by and Shookus is out in the garbage.
And you have to delete the whole Instagram account because you broke up with Ben? I mean, like, that must have meant that there were a lot of dedicated stuff to him on there.
Yeah. And by the way, she's a producer on SNL.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, she kind of like up in like she was living on the East Coast, was she not?
Oh, and she moved out there for him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was the word.
All right, winding well, he's moved on. He's got a Playboy model. That's where he is. Mighty Ducks alum Sean Weiss checked himself in a rehab after getting busted for public intoxication earlier this month.
So I saw something on the internet.
MightyDucks.com?
I don't know. Is he the one that was the goalie by any chance? Because I saw a picture and I was like, there's no way that is him now.
He played Goldberg.
There's a picture of him.
Holy hell!
Yep. Yeah, his mugshot is really bad.
He looks like...
not good.
Yeah, more than just booze.
Yeah, he looks like he's aged quite a bit. So he had written at
It's for a role press, it's the Mighty Drunks.
At this time, in an effort to break free from the self-destructive patterns, he wrote, of behavior and drug abuse... that have landed me at rock bottom. He said, to be real, below rock bottom. Even rock bottom is like, holy yes, how did you get all the way down there? He wrote this on a lengthy Facebook post on Tuesday. He said, I've checked myself into a well-regarded long-term rehabilitation center. I have surrendered to the reality that without immediate treatment, my life is in imminent danger. So he is committed to getting help, which is good news.
Yes, absolutely. And it sounds like sometimes people will report... They believe they hit bottom, and then they realize they had not hit the bottom they needed to hit to really go for it. And it sounds like he really, really hit bottom.
In June, Kelly Marie Tran, you remember her from Star Wars?
She's getting all that
Rose?
Nerd
Rose.
Backlash.
Fan bat.
And she was the first woman of color to co-star in a Star Wars film. She deleted her Instagram account after facing months of harassment from angry fans, and now she's providing context to her decision with a lengthy op-ed in the New York Times. In the piece, she says that she spent much of her life battling harassment and marginalization. The trolls, she writes, seem to confirm what growing up as a woman and a person of color already taught me, that I belonged in margins and spaces valid only as a minor character in their lives and stories.
Do you know what's funny about this, Preston? Is that science fiction as a whole has always been...
About inclusion.
Like Star Trek.
Yes.
The IDAC, which is the principle that Gene Roddenberry came up, infinite diversity and infinite combinations. You had the Bridge of the Enterprise in the 60s, which looked like the United Nations.
Exactly.
It's always been a main thrust of a lot of science fiction, and here you have these, it just seems antithetical to what it's supposed to be about.
I read her piece yesterday, and it's pretty powerful. She's a good writer, and she, I think, got beat down. By a lot of things that have happened over the last year, but she sounds, at least from these words, a lot stronger.
I hope so.
This is, by the way, this is representative, I'm sure, of a very vociferous fringe, because the bulk of people who really get drawn to stuff like this, or, you know, they tend to be pleasant people.
Sure. And when you but when you look at it and what she did through the filter of social media,
yes,
those negative things they stand out.
They're
augmented, and it just it can. If you're not ready for it,
you're exactly right.
It can floor you.
Yeah, I don't care how seasoned you are. You get a deluge, and you're it's going to turn your world around.
She said she no longer wants to live in such a constrained space. She said, I want to live in a world where children of color don't spend their entire adolescence wishing to be white. I want to live in a world where women are not subjected to scrutiny for their appearance or their actions or their general existence. I want to live in a world where people of all races, religions, socioeconomic classes, sexual orientations, gender identities, and abilities are seen as what they've always been, human beings.
Yes, who's in charge of your program?
You, what are you doing?
I'll wait.
This is just the beginning. As she writes, you might know me as Kelly. I'm the first woman of color to have a leading role in a Star Wars movie, and I'm the first Asian woman to appear on the cover of Vanity Fair. My real name is Lone, and I'm just getting started. So she's it sounds like she's going to come out a better person on the other side. Sarah Jessica Parker is planning to release her second line for Gap Kids. And she says that this one was inspired by hand-me-downs. It's the pony line.
It is. Yeah. Gap ponies.
Yeah. This idea of hand-me-downs and sharing.
We are despicable people.
It's stupid. Passing on is what I grew up as one of eight, and it's what I do now, do as a sibling now. There's 13 nieces and nephews, and we spend a huge amount of time passing around bins of clothes. The line will include jeans, backpacks, dresses, and shirts priced between $14.95 and $7. So very, very affordable.
This is just a peripheral thing, but I had posted a clip from Seabiscuit online. She just reminded me of this. And people ask what that was from on Twitter. If you've never seen Sarah Jessica Parker's not in it, but if you have never seen Seabiscuit, you need to see it. It's one of the greatest movies ever made.
It's fantastic. All right, two more things. Stranger Things.
Ooh.
In a new talk, David Harbour, who plays, of course, Hopper, the chief, explains that one of the big cinematic influences on next year's season of Stranger Things, because they've had a lot of influences from the 80s in
Stephen King
in their shows, but it's a bit distant from like Spielberg thrillers and sci-fi coming of age stories that characterized the first two seasons. Fletch is going to be an influence.
Stop it! No,
serious.
Oh, man, that makes me so happy. Are they going to do the Fletch theme?
I don't know.
I wouldn't put it past them. They're very loyal.
So he had said that Fletch is one movie that we get to play around and have some fun with this season, which you wouldn't expect from Stranger Things, and you wouldn't expect from the Spielberg universe, and you certainly wouldn't expect from a darker season, he said. But it might very well be related to the casting of Jake Busey, Gary Busey's son.
Yeah.
He's been here in our studio before. He's going to play a character named Bruce, described as a Hawkins Post reporter with, quote, questionable morals and a sick sense of humor. So he may be a Fletch-type character who's investigating some of the things that are going on.
I can't wait, though. The word is it's 2019, right? That's into 2019.
I think it said summer 2019. Next summer. Which was, they had a commercial for a mall in Hawkins, and then it said coming next summer at the end, which led people to believe that the season won't be coming around till next summer, which sucks. But Harbour also touches on a number of other topics relating to the upcoming season, including his speculations about Hopper's backstory and teasing of the puberty part of the coming-of-age story, with Harbour saying 11, and Hawkins' relationship is going to get far more complex because, you know, things happen to girls and boys when they're 13 and 14. A lot of changes go on in the body.
He's right.
A lot of changes go on in the body and in your social life, and I don't think he's going to handle watching her become a woman in front of his eyes very well. He said that's a horrifying thing for him, maybe even more so than frightening interdimensional monsters.
So, didn't you love season 2?
Oh, my God. It was great.
It was great. And they actually raised... I loved season 1, but season 2 got better. It got even more engaging. Kathy, are you watching Stranger Things at all?
You know what? I watched one episode, and I was like, okay, I like that. And then I never went back.
You know what? From like a Lost level, I know you were in Lost. You're like, you know, freakier things. It's not thundering terrifying, so you don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. It's just good.
Yeah.
It's just really good.
One last story. Train-spotting director Danny Boyle has left the helm of James Bond 25. Production was due to begin in early December. But in a statement posted to the official James Bond Twitter account, producers revealed that he had quit. The tweet stated simply, it said, Michael G. Wilson, Barbara Broccoli, and Daniel Craig today announced that due to creative differences, Danny Boyle has decided to no longer direct Bond 25.
Love Danny Boyle. One of my favorite directors. But some of the stuff he was talking about and directions he wanted to lead the Bond character in, I was not a fan of. So maybe that was probably part of the parting of the ways.
Yeah.
The name Chris Nolan's been bandied about.
Okay.
And?
Well, that could work. Yeah. That could work. You know, because I know Nolan's a purist in the Bond, you know, realm. So we'll see.
They've also thrown around the names David Arnold, Martin Campbell, and Patty Jenkins as well.
Yes.
So they're trying to figure out who might be.
Patty Jenkins would be the first female Bond director ever.
And she's solid, man.
Oh, yeah.
She's done some great movies. All right, we're ready for clips. The Thinner is a drama-filled series about Detective Ambrose being pulled back into his hometown by hidden secrets and a dark murder.
Thinner.
Here, star Jessica Biel talks about the motivation that she has towards her work with the show. Here we go.
You have to step forward and grab your career by the horns and say, all right, this is what we're doing, and I'm going to find something that inspires me, and I'm going to fight for it.
I don't give a f***.
The Sinner airs tonight at 10 p.m. on USA.
Sinner.
Let's go. Let's go to the next clip. America's Got Talent is in its 13th season, inviting contestants to impress the judges with their extraordinary abilities. Here, Simon Cowell talks about his likes and dislikes about the talents.
I like it when you're surprised, you know, when you're not expecting someone to be good and they are good. It's when someone's seen something already and they try and do it again. It's like it's not going to be a surprise. I find that boring.
Shut the f*** up!
America's Got Talent airs live tonight, 8 o'clock on NBC.
So excited for it.
I know you are. And that is what I have for you this morning in my entertainment report. Let me see here.
That's old news. Don't worry about that.
Okay, sorry. I thought I saw breaking news. It is not breaking news. We're going to take a break. We're going live on Fox Good Day this morning. We will do the last of our Bitch Box invites. Make sure you are listening if you want to get to that. The party is tomorrow night. But I do want to remind you, we have a secret text word as well up for grabs. Godsmack and Shinedown. Tickets to see the show. It's at the BB&T Pavilion on Sunday. Text word secret 39333. See if you can win a little bit later on. We'll take a break and be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dorothy.
Take me down to the bottom.
Fozzie. Stone Temple Pilots.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Don't forget tonight, Miller Lite event. It is the Miller Lite London Calling with the Green Legion trip to London, England. That we are having with the Preston and Steve show. And tonight, Marissa is going to have your opportunity to get registered to win that trip. Marissa will be at Destination Dog. It's at 1111 Walnut in Philadelphia. And she'll be there from 7 to 9. She'll have Miller Lite specials and Eagles home game tickets to give away. And you just might be one of our finalists for the trip to London. So that's tonight. Don't miss it.
You know that she has one tomorrow night after Bitch Box as well?
No. Yes, she's doing a twofer tomorrow night.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be at that one as well because it's right around the corner from my house.
Okay. All right. So, and we'll do one last Bitch Box giveaway at some point this morning. Listen for your chance to win. Today's big day. I caught on the news that things might be a little bit more busy traffic-wise around Penn and Temple. It's move-in day today.
All right, yeah.
So it'll probably be later in the day that that the traffic will pick up because people getting all their crap out and getting it ready to go in.
I've gotten caught down University City on Penn's move-in day. Oh, my God.
Really?
But you know what? There's just so much going on that even if you're stuck in traffic, you're like, there's a whole bunch to watch because there's just, you know, loads of students arriving, buses, all this stuff. It's pandemonium, but it's cool.
I remember when I moved in, it was so crowded and so busy that you had to wait, I mean, a really long time for the elevator. And I moved into the fourth floor. We moved everything up the stairs. Oh.
So is this
me, my mom, and dad?
So does this technically, you couldn't move in any sooner, correct? So it would be the first
freshman.
This was, yeah, I was a freshman. Okay. So, we couldn't move in. We had to move in that day. I think there was actually a freshman move in day.
Okay.
Yeah, the only time to move in sooner is if you're playing sports. So by the time I got to school, my freshman year, my roommate had already been in there for a few days because of soccer camp. So,
all right.
Okay. In fact, my niece just started her freshman year at Widener, and she moved in on Thursday, and her roommate just got there yesterday.
You know, it amazed me, though. You look at there was a picture in one of the papers. This is what students live in. And, like, mm-hmm. It looked like any dorm I've ever seen in my life. It's like, how does this suddenly qualify as squalor? It's a standard dorm room.
Yeah, we went to my son went to a music camp this summer, and we went up to Reading.
Yeah,
to what is the school in Reading?
Alvernia?
No.
Harvard.
No, it's a guy's name.
My friend went there.
Oh my gosh. It begins with an A. Albright.
Albright. Thank you. We went to Albright. And
everybody else was talking at the same time.
He had to stay there for a few days. And so we popped up for a performance before they were leaving on the trip and went into the dorm room where he was staying. It was as bare bones as you can.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
It's a brick room.
That's it. Not that's it. Yeah, yeah. It's the concrete
cinder block.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And so, listen, when they give you your room, it's fine. It's bare bones. It's what you're able to do with it in the next month or so.
And
you talk about squalor. Like, I went back to visit my school not too long ago, and it was a pit, and it smelled terrible, and I missed it. I walked into that room, I was like, oh, my God, it smells so bad.
Well, let me tell you something. Going through this trains you on the odds of you leaving college with your whopping debt and being able to get something you're going to really be happy about living in. It's okay to get good at I can live in here. I had my share of basement apartments. I made it work,
Yeah.
I remember that. I was horrified by that, though, like the cinder block walls, and I was like, oh my God.
It's like a jail cell.
It's kind of like a jail cell. I was like, what? This whole college experience is like jail. It's
Did you
terrible.
Go out and shop for your own cinder blocks?
No, but you know what? I walked by a room and this girl had set up her room. She brought a rug. She had stuff hanging on the walls already. The beds were perfect. And I was like, oh my God, that looks like home. She's still my best friend today.
You can make it cool. If we've learned from the movie Back to School.
Yes.
Where Rodney Dangerfield completely redoes all those dorm rooms into an awesome place. No, but you can. You're right, Kathy. I didn't go to college myself, but I did have friends, and I would visit them in their freshman year and go to their dorm rooms, and a few of them were done up really cool, man.
Yeah. I had never been.
God, I want to be here.
I'd never been to a Walmart until going to college because there just weren't any around here growing up, and so I went to school in the middle of the state, and there was a Walmart in Lewisburg, PA, and it was where you would go to get everything that you had forgotten to bring from home. My dorm, my freshman year, was one of the newer, nicer ones. It had air conditioning, but a lot of them did not, and a lot of them were just like built in the teens and 20s.
Yeah.
They were really run down, but since then, they've built at Bucknell, they built a whole bunch of new dorms, and they're really nice, but they're still bare bones, and that's kind of what a dorm room should be.
That's it. You learn to live sparsely, which is a great thing. You learn to be creative about what you're living in.
Yeah.
And I honestly, when you're in college anyway, how much time are you spending in that dorm room?
I thought it was going to be
decent amount.
I thought it was going to be cool to have a roommate because I thought we were going to be best buddies, and that didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
he went to class.
Do you like Nazis too?
No. No, he was an electrical engineer who was a 4.0 student for most of his time. I was not that.
Yeah.
My grades weren't quite. Maybe I made a 4.0 by the
end. I'm 0.4.
Yeah.
By the end of the 7 years.
Yeah, it added up to 4.0. But the dude was so nice. I was probably a terrible roommate I was a terrible roommate. He would leave. He'd go to bed at like 9 or 10 o'clock at night, leave the light on for me, and I'd come home at 2 or 3 in the morning not go to class the next day.
Oh, my God.
Did you ever have
loud,
a girl?
Loud, drunk Nick.
Yeah.
Okay.
You ever have a girl in the room and make love on top of him?
No. We would kick him out when we would bring girls back over.
My roommate and I ended up pining for the same girl. My freshman year.
Oh, that must have been fun.
It was interesting and surprising.
You'd see her every day at the cafeteria.
Well, I mean, but...
And then did you have to listen to them?
Oh, no, no. She went for me.
What was wrong with that?
I like you better.
Yeah, he wasn't happy. Like, listen, I liked her first, Kathy. What? I liked her first. Okay. I'm just trying to defend myself.
No, it's I was just saying, I don't know who would have picked you. You know what I mean?
I don't know. She's a
You're hot. She's kidding, a catch.
She, I guess.
Anyway, so you guys went after the same girl? And...
Yeah, and she just one night at a party, she started making out with me, and I was like, "What? No way! I like, totally liked you." And
you're my mom's best friend.
This is so much fun. I really was so surprised because she started kissing me. But anyway, he went on a tear that night. Like he was. You know, it was like one of those, oh, man, and he got, like, super drunk, and I was like, ah, tough cookies, buddy.
But it was okay between you
guys.
I'm
glad it worked out.
It didn't cause a rift
in the relationship? No, in fact, you know, later that summer, she ended up breaking my heart terribly, and, you know.
So it all worked out.
So, you know, I ended up getting the short end of the stick. Okay.
Do you guys know what, Preston and Steve, you guys know what freshman herds are?
I do not.
So when you get to college, you end up hanging out with a lot of people often. You end up hanging a lot of people with from your hallway, and you will see giant groups of people going from one building to the next. And they do it because it's a comfort, I guess.
Yeah, but
you'll see all of these giant groups going from the dorm to the cafeteria, to the caf.
Yeah.
Or to bio class. Everything in college is abbreviated. To chem.
To my room,
yes. But it's
I'm going to go take a sh.
As an upperclassman.
A shower?
A shower.
No.
Exactly. It's really noticeable.
No, I can't even do it.
My, I had a friend who went back to college for the reunion in June, and I had lunch with him and lunch with two college friends the other day, and my friend that went back for a reunion was telling me that the costs at Bucknell now for tuition, room and board, books, everything are now approximately $70,000 a year, north of $70,000.
So here's the deal. Good like my neighbors, you know, from Antioch, they were talking about their son going to high school. Man, oh man, when you're looking at leaving college with a staggering debt, I don't give, even if you get assistance, you're gonna get whomped unless it's been, you know, I know you guys started your college funds early for your
the day each one of my kids was born. Yeah.
But
but it's crazy that you have to, I mean, that basically needs to be done, you know? You have to start something or else your kid's not gonna be able to afford college.
Yeah.
And is it worth it? I mean I've asked this question many times. I don't know anymore. That's a lot of money and that's and probably a lot of debt when you're done school.
Oh, I think it is.
I don't know. You gotta work hard though. Yeah. You've gotta
that's the thing.
You gotta make the money count.
And you can't waste your parents' money.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, sure you can. I did.
You got to
waste my parents'
money. No, you
did. I did too.
No, you invested in lip kits.
No, I have a friend whose daughter is currently in school. She's got a year left, and she has worked very, 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 very hard doing internships. And
all things.
And she's already got a job offer for when she graduates.
That's worth it.
And that's when it's worth it, when you've been proactive about making this work to your advantage.
But there's a huge portion of students who look at it as sort of as a vacation.
It's a 4-year party.
There was a study that showed that how many hours a week on average are actually committed to schoolwork for the average college student per week. And I think it was something on the order of 2¾ hours.
Yeah. By the way, somebody texted in and said Villanova also has move-in day today.
Oh, Villanova's move-in day.
And by the way, this text says, thank you, fathers, for your freshman daughters. Isn't that a sign?
I remember it to this day. It was hanging from the dorm room windows when I showed up to Westchester.
Thank you, fathers, for your freshman daughters.
Did your dad see it?
Oh, we drove by. And my dad laughed. My mom was horrified.
I love your dad. Oh, my God.
My dad's like, her name's Kathy.
He's awesome. Hang on a second. I want to go to a couple of calls. I have Bruno on the phone. Hey, Bruno, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
So, move-in day, I have a good little story of how I met my roommate. So it's kind of tricky when two people move in at different time. I moved in. He moved in. We never saw each other. First day, I got scooped up for an off-campus party, and I returned to my dorm maybe around 2 a.m. I have top bunk. I have yet to ever climb up into the top bunk, and my roommate is sleeping on the bottom bunk. I think I stood there for 20 minutes eyeing it up of how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just grabbed my blanket, laid on the floor, and I met him the next morning sleeping on the floor.
Because you couldn't figure out how to get up to the top bunk.
met him when he stepped on me.
When does the when does the pairing for roommates take place?
Good question. I mean, earlier. I don't know how it works now. The only thing, so that movie Boyhood that came out a few years ago, Kathy loved it. No, but at the end of it, he's going away to college, and he says that that they had his future roommate. They had linked up online. They were pairing them up and having a chance to meet each other at least
in the summer. It usually
via
happens.
Text and not in person, so they could have a dialogue before they meet each other.
Hash things out,
which is a great idea.
But that works
on some level, you know what I mean? But it's not going to.
Is it almost like a modified dating app? Do you give selections of things you're interested in, or how do they pair?
You fill out a Q&A about yourself, and they try to give you a like-minded human being in your room, but like Kathy,
it doesn't work.
The girl lied in her Q&A and you know said she wasn't a smoker and she was, and you know
I don't know how they do it today if it's still the same, but I mean I remember we literally got a piece of paper and you checked off the boxes, so it was like smoker, you check non-smoker, and of course no one's going to say smoker because they don't want their parents to know. So my roommate checked non-smoker, but she was.
Let me ask you something. In today's day and age, is smoker even an option at dorms?
I mean, we weren't allowed to smoke in the dorms, but people did all the time. And my roommate didn't care. Her parents weren't there.
Slutty, non-slutty. You know. Promiscuous, not promiscuous.
They try to match you up, you know, so that you have something in common with your roommate. But, I mean, I would imagine most times or a lot of times it doesn't work out.
And I'm still friends with my freshman year roommate. In fact, I'll see him on Sunday. We're in fantasy football together. And, you know, we were similar, except for I would say the only difference is that he played soccer and I didn't, you know. Okay. And that was pretty much it. My niece's roommate, my niece plays field hockey. Her roommate does not. So that's why my niece was in earlier, and then the roommate just came in yesterday.
I'm going to go to Jason. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, man?
So when we have a funny story. When I was a junior at Westchester, I worked at KB Toys. I was a manager at KB Toys. So I wound up coming home one day with this gigantic baby pool for our dorm room, and we lived right next to the bathroom. So we would run a hose over into the and fill up the baby pool, and we would have bubble bath parties on Friday nights.
Oh my God!
Bubble bath parties.
Hallway?
Yeah, it was great until one night one of the RAs came in. We by accident left the door cracked, and there was about six of us sitting in this pool, and the RA kind of came and freaked out. So now at Westchester, apparently there's now a rule in the rule book that says no swimming pools allowed.
You made that happen.
Well, that's quite an accomplishment. You can point to that and say, see, I achieved something at school.
I like that.
Yeah, we had one of those sophomore year, and for a stretch, it really was a lot of fun until the mold started to grow, and we had kept it in the room for like a month and a half, and then it was pretty nasty. And Steve, to your point earlier about freshmen knowing about one another or filling out the forms, you can stalk your roommate now. Once you find out that person's name, you can find out everything you possibly can online, you know, with social media.
When do you find out traditionally? So say that today's moving in day for a lot of schools. When does that information finally get locked down?
Maybe a couple weeks before you go back to school.
Yeah. I found out June or July.
Yeah. I actually was stalking my niece's roommate. I'm like, oh, let me find out about this girl. But I was there with my niece. I'm like, oh, what's your name? And then I was like, oh, let me look her up, blah, blah, blah.
I know I'm much older than you.
No, not like that. Oh, I'm just, you know, just trying to take an active interest in her.
Sure,
you
want to protect her.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
Let me go to Tori. Hey, Tori, good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Hi! Tori, what's up?
So when I was a freshman, first of all, I was in a suite with nine other girls, which was like a nightmare in and of itself.
How many other girls?
Nine.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And I mean, it was nice because we didn't have to share bathrooms with like randos, just with each other, but it was still horrendous. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like Kathy level meat freak and clean freak, and my freshman roommate was a straight up hoarder. Like, couldn't see the floor. Only on her side of the room, though, there was like a delineation where her crap ended, and like my side of the room was all neat and clean, to the point where like she had moldy dishes piled up. We had like a fruit fly infestation. We had to evacuate our room for like two nights. But I think we got paired together because we both really liked Harry Potter. But
she loves really like Harry Potter. Was there a clean your room spell that you could have done?
Say that again.
A clean your room spell. I would have freaked out to be in that proximity to someone who's you know, cultivating fruit flies.
Yeah, you know what? I would love to see what a questionnaire looks like kind of give me, because I can't remember. It was so long ago.
Well, also in this day and age where you have to be hypersensitive to so much.
Well, I was going to say.
What kind of questions can you ask?
Well, I mean, so, you know, they put her together because they were Harry Potter things. Like, could you, like, you know, figure, all right, what is going to be the most important thing that I need to have in a roommate? And if it was like, dude, I need it to be pristine, you know, is that a thing in the questionnaire?
Well, I wonder how arch negative you can get. I'm filthy. I'm a smoker. Mm-hmm. I drink a lot.
I just
I'm into porn.
Yeah, it's just not gonna work out like that the time. You have to meet them. You have to know if you're compatible.
I'm just saying, could someone really push the boundaries
and see
what creature they would pair them up with?
There you go. Here's some questions about bedtime, when you go to bed, when you wake up, security, lock the apartment only when we are not home, things like this is how they're answering these. Sharing, I'm open to sharing everything. Cleaning, usually orderly and clean. Goes out once or twice a week. These are the answers that they're giving. Looking for someone who is, quote, outgoing. So
generic.
Stuff like that. Just generic.
But it's also really, really tough because you don't necessarily know who you are because you've always lived with your parents, right? So, you know, I know for myself, like, I didn't party in high school. And then I got to college and
it changed.
And nobody was telling me what I can and can't do.
Right.
So
you got to answer as best you can. So,
exactly.
And lie.
But you're right.
And lie.
You know, you'll be open to new things.
I wish my perspective on class and studying and work were what I have now then. Because I wasted my parents' money. And I just what you have at your fingertips in college is infinite knowledge from incredibly smart people with amazing facilities.
Let me ask you this, and I'm not dissuading anyone from going to college, but at the time that you went away to college, did you feel that you were ready for it?
I thought I was, but I clearly wasn't, and I should have taken. And part of it was just the social environment in which I grew up. I mean, everybody in my high school went to college. It was just a given. But in retrospect, I should have taken at least a year or two off.
Yeah.
I would have gotten, and by the time I did graduate, which, yes, was 7.5 years later, I got great grades. And why? Because I gave a crap about it, and I was paying for it myself. My dad had given up on paying on it.
I clearly was not ready for it.
Yeah.
When I graduated from high school, I'm like, I'm done, man. But then a little while later, I think I might have had the mindset to go, okay, time to get serious.
Well, then
I'm
in class. I'm like, oh, learning this stuff is cool. Like, you know, that appealed to my actual academic nature. Whereas when I was 18 and 19, I was like, hey, free beer at a fraternity house.
But you know what? It also depends on, you know, your personality and who you are. Because if I had taken a year off, because I almost left a few months into college, I would have never gone back.
The call of the circus.
I just know that I was in, you know, in the flow, in the swing of things and the study, you know, just to go right from high school to do the same thing. And it was harder and you had to work more. But, you know, if I would have like had a gap and I would have left that, I don't think I would have gone back.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if I could do it now. I couldn't do it. I have like a friend who went back and got his master's, but while working his full time job, there's no way I could.
You could do it online.
There's no way I could continue to work and get it done. I have barely enough time to put the bizarre files together, folks. That's how much my attention span is. Yes. But if I didn't have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I wonder if I could go back to college and get a
degree. Yeah, but a lot of people that get their master's, their doctorate, you know, they're working full time.
Oh, I know.
They're working 40 hours plus and going to school.
I don't know how they do it. I have no idea how
it's
they
difficult.
Do it. All right, move-in day is today for several of the colleges. Good luck to you, students. Good luck to you, parents who are sending your kids off and everything. And we hope it goes as wonderfully as you hope it will.
Yes.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a second. And I do have the bizarre file set for you, as well as a quick stop on Fox Good Day this morning. We'll check in with the gang.
Throughout 2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rockin' Philly. Keep listening for special birthday events and special programming from our long, strange trip together. Every hour this weekend, we highlight 1994, the year MMR turned 26. It was the year of the great Green Day mud fight at Woodstock 94. The birth of Amazon and Yahoo online and PlayStation in your home. On TV, we were introduced to Friends. While at the movies, we saw The Shawshank Redemption, Forrest Gump, and Pulp Fiction.
This is a tasty burger.
MMR had new music from these bands: Green Day, Soundgarden, Nine Inch Nails, Pearl Jam, Beastie Boys, STP, Weezer, Live, Tom Petty, Alice in Chains, Toadies, Bat, Pink Floyd, Korn, The Offspring, Bush, R.E.M., Woo, and so many more from 1994, including Nirvana, Unplugged. Listen all
weekend as we highlight another page from our scrapbook of shared musical memories.
Sponsored by Thompson Toyota. Experience the Thompson difference at thompsontoyota.net.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
I have a couple of shout-outs. Maybe we can see time-wise how many I can get through here before we go live on Fox. But this is from our friend Charles Sassy Lance. Charles was one of the judges at this year's Belly Flop Championship. And he said, hey, you beautiful bitches. It's a pain in the ass. It's your pain in the ass friend Sassy here asking for another shout-out slash favor. My son Kyle has been working his ass off with a full-time job, full-time school. He's now working weekends, delivering pizzas. And he's been accepted into an internship with Mercedes-Benz in Jacksonville. And I was hoping to get a Nasty Moist shard out for this, quote, S-head. And I guess that's her lovable term for each other. If you could get some of the great P&S fans to check out the Kyle Lance Internship Fund on GoFundMe, it would be amazeballs, he says. I think he's saying that as a joke.
Say on Kong Kong?
Silent Kong Kong. Thanksgiving, let me be a part of the Belly Flop Championship this year. I'll be back next year, and I'll be a lean, mean flopping machine. So he wants a shard out.
Yes.
So here you go. And that is for Sassy. And then another quick one. Do you have time? Is about 30 seconds left? 30 seconds.
You can do this fast.
Sharon Larry says, hello from Seattle. My sister Pam is getting married this weekend. She's marrying a college sweetheart of 8 years. Pam's a big P&S fan. She's a typical little sister who loves everything and the big sis, and I love her so much. And I'm paraphrasing because I'm doing it quickly. I'm hoping to reference this shard out in my maid of honor speech on Friday. So thanks in advance. But I'm going to reference it even if you don't get to it. Gadzooks, that's from Sharon Larry. Here's a shard out. And good luck with everything. We're going to be going live on Fox Good Day in just a moment. If all of the buttons are pushed properly and the music means
Hey, Preston and Steve.
Hey!
Wow.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, Karen. Hey, Karen. How you doing?
Hey, good. Doing great.
Excellent. So we found the study that says people will do just about anything to get a full night's sleep. I know you guys don't sleep. Your whole crew is like our television crew here. We don't get much hours. They say that people would give up a lot of stuff. A lot of people, they ask them this question. Would you eat baby food and only baby food for a whole year to get a good night's rest?
I do that now. So No, I'm kidding.
You mean if I had to eat baby food every day to get a good night's sleep every night?
Yes.
Baby food is disgusting. I can't stand it.
Well, not all baby food. Banana is good.
Way. I find it disgusting.
Karen says it come a long way. I would nurse for a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would do. Yeah.
Listen. Being rested is it can make or break your day. So yeah, I'd say I would, and I hate baby food.
You know what? I've made peace with the fact that I get very limited sleep. So I go to bed at 11. I'm up at 3:45. So, you know, and you guys have the same thing. Now, it's not a lot. It's not a lot of sleep, but I just wring every second of life I can out of it, and then I get depressed, right?
It's taking its toll. I'm 29 years old.
Look at you. Mike, look what's happening. 15. It's bad.
Okay, so I know that you have, Karen and I have been told by new mothers on our staff that baby food is so much better now. By the way, Preston, why are you eating baby food?
I am.
Oh, no, we did years and years ago, we did a contest. Where we had people eat baby food, and it looked repulsive to me. And I have kids. I got 3 kids, so we had baby food, and you try a little bit of it, and it's just like, oh, we're forcing our kids to eat this crap, you know? I mean,
so, yeah. Do you ever take a spoonful?
Mike, I'm sorry, you're talking to me. You know what, but you're right. Baby food has come a long way. Yes,
has it? Taken,
yeah, it's not like the baby food in the jars anymore. Most people are kind of pureeing their own fruits and vegetables. So, no, I don't think it's that bad.
And they have the pouches. They have the pouches with every blended flavor. My kids, I still put it in their camp lunches right now. They've got them with, you know, applesauce with every kind of delicious mango, pineapple.
Pouches, you say? I have not heard of pouches.
You just suck on them, and they're not messy, and they don't go, their spoons flying and all down. You try it.
All you have to do is suck on the pouches. Who knew?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Suck on the pouches. That's my claim to fame. All right. Well, we'll see you next week, guys.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Suck on a pouch.
See you a little bit later. Yeah, they have... I've seen the applesauce, which is easy to throw in a lunch pail or whatever, you know, in the lunch bag, whatever it is. And they can, it's just, you know, it's easier than, you don't need a spoon.
Yes.
Yeah, they're the jars anymore.
They were doing that with baby food in particular. And they're really mixing it up and doing some more exotic combinations.
Yeah, it's all like fruits and vegetables, and they come in the pouch now, so you can take them to go, too.
I wish I was a baby again. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, yeah.
To know what you know now and
wait
be a
about
baby.
40 years, you'll be right back there.
You're right. You're right.
You'll be in a diaper and you'll be eating soft food again.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that's depressing.
I know.
No, but this, you can also, you also have a full vocabulary that includes curses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have a bizarre file. Here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning is brought to you by CF Logistics, LLC. CF Logistics, LLC is expanding its fleet, and they're looking for professional drivers to join their family-owned company. You can apply today at CFLogisticsLLC.com. That's CFLogisticsLLC.com. A mother of four has been left in hamster hell after her new pet went rogue and caused thousands of dollars worth of damage to her new car. Amanda Johnson had purchased the orange Syrian hamster for her children on August 14th, but the active rodent managed to escape from its box during her drive home, and it got inside her four-month-old new car where it still remains. No. She can't get it out. It is stuck in her car. The hamster has managed to defy a whopping eight different traps that she has left in there.
I have no doubt that this, you know, and this happens. Preston, you talked about, would you have a hamster growing up or something that got into the walls of the house?
For at least a year.
Right. A year.
We would all of a sudden see this thing run across the living room floor. There it is! And then we couldn't find it. And you would hear stuff in the walls. It was living in the house, and we had no idea.
They're little Houdinis.
They are. So apparently she's ordering three more traps to try and find this thing. In just 6 days, it has wreaked havoc on her car, chewing through seat belts, gnawing through plastic and wires, and destroying one of her airbags. She said, we began the 35-minute drive home full of excitement with our new family member. 20 minutes into the journey, I felt something brush past my left ankle. I scratched it and carried on driving, and it happened again. And I look, and there's an effing hamster under the effing clutch pedal. I had to drive the rest of the way home knowing that there's a hamster on the loose in my car.
Why couldn't she pull over?
Well, apparently where she was driving, she wasn't allowed to. It said there was no stopping allowed on the roads. So she said, I'm absolutely heartbroken about my new car, but despite the damage, I would love to find the hamster alive, safe, and well.
Okay, she cares about the hamster, but, you know, if you want to scare it out of the car, push the car off a cliff.
Maybe that would work. Yeah. A woman was killed in a bizarre accident Sunday afternoon along Osborne Turnpike in Virginia. Officers and fire crews responded to the scene Sunday. It's where a neighbor said that a woman was riding in the back of a pickup truck trying to hold down a mattress.
Oh.
And tragedy struck. The wind caught it and it flew out of the truck and it took her with it. That neighbor said that the woman died a short time later.
So sometimes you'll be driving down a highway and you'll see a mattress off to the side of the road. The concept that you can get a mattress home, trust me, is tremendously difficult, tied to the roof of your car or a pickup truck or whatever. Once you start to move, that thing becomes a wing.
Yeah, have it delivered.
Yes.
You're going to have to.
Come on.
The crash team is still investigating. Police have not released the name of the victim. A group of Spokane residents think that it makes sense to put fans on people's roofs and blow the wildfire smoke enveloping their city in Canada's direction. They would be mistaken, said a person who knows what she's talking about. Blow Spokane Smoke Away to Canada is the name of a Facebook event that's scheduled to take place on Friday at noon. Organized by Spokane resident Caleb Moon, the event asks its population of 550,000 people to place at least five box fans on their roofs, turn them in to their highest settings, and aim them at northeastern Canada.
How can it fail?
He said, teamwork makes the dream work. Let's do this, Spokaneites.
This is Caleb saying this.
Yeah, and he said, we figure a small box fan can move smoke about 6 feet. So if you put 500,000 of them together, you can do the math on that, and we can probably get it pretty far into Canada. And he admits to feeling a little bad about the idea. There's a flaw in the plan, however. It's very ridiculous, said Sarah Henderson, who is the senior environmental health scientist at the British Columbia Center for Disease Control. She said one sort of floor fan could move a little smoke around, but there's no way that a large group of fans is going to move as much smoke as there actually is. If you've got a fan running on your floor, think of its radius of influence. It's not very large, maybe 10 feet. So it's all it's going to do is clear smoke, maybe out to that 10 feet. But a fan also pulls. It doesn't just push air. It pulls through. Besides, smoke isn't just flowing from BC. It's also coming in from California.
My parents spent about half the year in Colorado, and they in their place in Colorado, they have smoke from the fires in California and Oregon. It's blowing that far.
Yep, I believe it. Police have arrested a man after he allegedly admitted to entering a woman's apartment and pleasuring himself while she slept. But what's interesting is how this guy was busted. Michael Irvin was arrested Monday.
What?
The wide receiver from the Cowboys?
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Things have gone downhill for him.
Well, he does have a good grip.
No, this guy's 18 years old.
Oh.
In connection with two counts of residential burglary, Irvin told police that he entered a woman's apartment and stood over her, fighting urges not to hurt her.
That's dear God.
Terrifying. He said he exposed himself and pleasured himself over her while she slept, but denied touching her. Police arrested Irvin during another burglary Monday. They've also linked him to a burglary that took place on the 15th. One girl's mother said that her focus remains on making sure Irvin is in jail. Now, the reason he was caught is the mother had apparently had a Nest security camera installed in the apartment of her daughter. The mother had video of him doing this, and it showed Irvin coming in the front door of the student's apartment twice in the same night. On Facebook, she posted this. The same surveillance video shows Irvin creeping back into the apartment 10 minutes later. Police say he entered one of the students' room, entered one of the students' rooms, and sat on her bed. That's horrifyingly scary, but he's been busted. Thank God for that. All right, and then one last story. Iowa is known for its wide-open spaces, but that doesn't mean that you can drive your Ferrari wide open through them. The Iowa State Patrol posted a photo to Facebook on Monday of a white Ferrari 488 Spyder that was pulled over doing 137 miles per hour near Mason City.
Sure.
But the driver had an excuse. It's just not a good one. She told the officer she thought she was only going 100 miles an hour.
Thought I was going 100. Yeah. I looked down and go, oh, my God, I'm going 137.
Yeah, not a great idea to drive this fast in the rain, the patrol wrote. So it was also raining, and she's doing 137.
Jeez. So she's doing all the right things.
The 488 Spyder has a 660-horsepower twin-turbocharged V8 and top speed of 202 miles per hour. The exact stretch of road the violation occurred on was not revealed, but at Iowa's highest highway limit of 70 miles per hour, the driver's fine for the indicated speed would be around $335. There you go. That's what I got for you.
Oh, I thought I was going 100, officer. I'm sorry.
In the bizarre file this morning. All right, I have the last chance. Case, you mind if I do this?
No, go ahead.
This is the final one to give away Kathy's Bitch Box Party.
Oh, nice. Including fashion show.
That is correct. So it's tomorrow night. It's Bitch Box Part 2, and I'll take caller number 18 at 215-263-WMMR. You have to be at least 21 years of age. It is from 6 to 8 tomorrow at Harris in Philadelphia. You can't get the Bitch Box unless you are there. We have a first free drink for you. We got a happy hour buffet and all kinds of good stuff taking place.
And I just want to thank some of the people that contributed to the Bitch Box to make it as amazing as it is. Hey Honey, Original Drinking Buddies, True Beauty Concepts, Braided Charm, Yummy Bites, Marinella Jewelry, who actually she hand makes these bracelets that are going into the box. Yeah, which is awesome. Bondi Band, Sets Beauty, Wind and Wave Soap, Wine Knots, Priori Skincare, Jade Yoga, and then Elsie Boutique in Warrington. She's doing the owner over there, Lucia, is doing an amazing job putting this fashion show together, which will happen tomorrow night at the party. So thank you to everybody.
Quick question: are there going to be some of the vendors going to be there?
Yeah. Oh yeah, some of the vendors will be there. They'll have like additional giveaways. And, you know, some little demonstrations and things like that.
Nice.
But yeah, there's a group of them that are coming out.
Preston, we're going to be hanging with our sorority. It's awesome.
Our sisters.
Our sisters.
I love it, man.
We posted a photo on our Instagram account. Kathy, what are the little action figures? What are those guys?
Those are buddies.
Those are the original drinking buddies. So, Nick, remember like the little charms you'd put on the bottom of your wine glass so you wouldn't get mixed up as to whose glass it was?
Yeah.
So these little men in bathing suits hang from your wine glass.
It's kind of kind of cool.
It is.
I like action figures.
So we'll take the final caller now, and then we'll get the party underway tomorrow. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us. We're not going to be gone too long.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
I noticed something earlier this morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, he has returned. He is the noticer, noticing things everywhere.
down an empty alleyway across an empty field in a, I don't know, a parking garage.
Yeah, something like that.
Garage. Just kind of see that, like, three or four stories
tall. Hey, so here's what I noticed. I noticed that Casey was seeking out some kind of an odor in the studio.
Yes.
And
the elusive odor.
Yeah, and what was it? What did you thought you'd smelled earlier?
When I walked in here, it smelled musty, like almost like...
like a manly musky smell?
No, like
no,
an
musty,
old...
Not oh, musky.
Like a musty, like old... cigarette on clothes.
Like smell. a really old cougar smell.
Mm-hmm. But not before you walk through the door.
No.
Because it was the first thing you said to me this morning, and I don't have the nose that you have, and I certainly don't have the nose that Kathy has, but I didn't smell it at all today.
And nobody smelled it, right? I was the only one who...
But then again, you had just come in, so it's quite possible you had brought the smell with you.
Possibly, but...
Not that you were the reason for the smell.
Well, the reason that I bring this up is because I saw this study that was done.
You saw something.
I did. And it pertained to what Casey was saying, but 1 in 15 Americans smell odors that are not there.
It's in our nose?
Yeah. Where else? What do you think?
No, you smell with your
like
eyes.
Like hanging out in there?
Yeah. See with your eyes, not with
no,
your
no,
hands.
No, no, no. I don't mean you smell with your nose. I mean, is the scent
no.
actually in your
no.
own nose?
Kathy's weird, though. I've seen her. Just if something's fresh and she's checking it, she holds it up to her ear.
No. It means that it doesn't exist and it's your brain.
It's just
phantom smells. Okay. The same way you think you might, maybe see something that you're not seeing.
Okay.
It's another sense.
So a new study reveals sometimes people smell scents that aren't actually present. Researchers from the National Institute on Deafness and Other Communication Disorders.
Is it possible to have things like a smell-rage, like a mirage?
A smell-rage. I like that. They looked at data from over 7,000 participants over the age 40. From a 3-year survey that ended in 2014, they found that while the ability to identify odors tends to decrease with age, which is true. Phantom odor perception seems to improve with age.
How are your olfactory capabilities?
They're good.
Mine are really good. And I can pick out, my wife will put me on pee patrol in the house if she thinks there's, a cat might have whizzed somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do it. I also, to check it, I bought one of these blue lights they use to check for semen in hotel rooms. And that'll light up too if there's cat urine and everything. So I'm really good. But a lot of times she'll see me around the house. She'll hand me stuff and just when she's doing laundry here. No, it's good.
My grandmother lost her sense of smell later
did
in
she?
Life. Yeah,
was her taste affected after that?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, wow. Okay,
it definitely was. You know who else has no sense of smell?
RC,
yeah,
which is why he was able to do Casey's taint tattoo.
That's right.
With straight face.
I also showered that week. So,
oh, okay.
Thank you for showering.
My wife, for as terrible as sinuses as she has a wonderful sense of smell, and it's got like so.
I'm gonna make you smell so good.
Oh, smells so good. No, she. One night I was sleeping and she had just opened the basement door. I don't know why, but she smelled something at the top of the steps.
Yeah.
Woke me up. She's like, I think something's burning downstairs.
Well, there you go. You're talking about something where I really vault into action and I will go on around the house. That lingering, slight burning smell.
Yeah.
And I told you guys, actually, it was just recently I was in the house. The windows were open. I'd come home and I'm like, there's something. And then what had happened was a small plastic lid in the dishwasher had fallen down and was melting at the bottom.
That's wild, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went downstairs into the basement like a bloodhound, just kind of walking around and sniffing. And
you're not good though.
No, I could smell it.
All right.
I mean, it's pretty wild.
Were they escaped convicts?
No, but I was following the smell like a dog would, and then not the tree, but like how a dog would smell. And I eventually did find it. And what had happened? There was a floorboard heater, and we had this little area rug that had gotten for some reason lodged under the floorboard heater.
Dude, you could have had a horrible situation.
Yes.
If you, I watched a special about, and believe it or not, it was fascinating about how dogs. Smell and they're not how they physically smell, their ability to suss out things through odor. And like when they can sense things that have happened in an area like a month later, like you bring a dog, like you're walking around down the street, you think, okay, they're just smelling freshly. No, they can, they're smelling weeks back and it's really a way for them to locate everything. My dog, like if my dog has ever smelled something in a park somewhere,
mm-hmm.
She always checks that same spot again because she thinks, well, that it's going to be there again, or there's still a lingering smell. The amount, the way they perceive the world around them is so based in smell. If you ever see a dog out on a breezy day, Preston, your dogs probably do it as well, where the wind is blowing and their heads go up and they're like absorbing the whole world, you know, through their noses.
Yeah, I wonder that's why dogs like to stick their head out car windows. You know, I don't, is it the breeze or is it the smell?
It's like speed reading.
Yeah. But I mean, it's wild that a dog can smell poop, right? And not smell just the poop.
And eat it then.
No, I know. But
it's the ultimate irony, isn't it?
But they're smelling all the hints of like,
yeah,
that stuff.
Well, that's why they jam their noses in each other's asses for, hey, how are you?
Mm-hmm. So the data showed about 6.5% of Americans age 40 plus experienced phantom odors.
You ever have this?
The researcher, I think I have. Yeah, where you're certain you smell something and you ask other people around you, do you smell it? And they don't.
Do you smell Howard Hughes?
And they don't pick up on it at all.
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably happened before.
My wife has a terrible sense of smell. Right. Her hearing's not that good either, but...
You keep her around anyway.
You know what? Because she makes a hell of a Sanka.
Yeah. I wonder if...
What?
Is
that a line?
It's like an old commercial thing.
All right. But I wonder if conversely there are, you know, there's got to be people who don't smell things that are just there. That, you know, like people with body odor, for instance. Like, how can you not...
Well, There's you mean your own body odor?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nose blind.
Yeah.
If you're around it long enough, you don't smell. I had some friends that loved them to death. But when I would go over to their house, it smelled. They had three cats, and I mean, that ammonia smell was just pungent. And I had owned cats as well. So I knew the smell. And when I would walk in, I'm like, this is almost unbearable.
Mm-hmm.
And they never said anything about it. I never said anything about it.
And you feel bad because we have nine cats and we have nine cat boxes. I defy you because we scrape.
I was there.
Twice a day. And and this is a shout out to a great product. I like to pay it forward. Arm & Hammer's cat litter. Right?
Yeah.
Unfreaking real. Slide is the one that we're using. It's like the song.
Me too.
Scoop, right. So, but also it kills the odor like nobody's business.
It actually does a pretty good job. Yeah. I think I might hire like a staff member to take care of my cats if I had nine cat boxes.
I know, right?
You need like an employee.
But I mean,
to
Preston's point though, that's where you become nose blind. You're living in the house, you're experiencing it all the time, and then you just become dead to it.
Yeah, but not, well, maybe after like a long, 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 long time, like we're talking years, but
yeah,
you don't go nose blind if you leave and then come back. The second right?
No. You're used to the smell. Yeah. You can go out. You go out shopping for a couple hours and come back. You're not going to go, oh my God, this house is doused in piss.
I just remember
for people who've been living in it, it just kicks in and they okay, this is what it smells like. I got it.
Yeah.
If you were to go away for maybe like a month and come back, you might get it.
I just when I was in the Boy Scouts, we stayed at Camp Del Monte. They had a cabin. And we stayed in this cabin, and it smelled terrible, right?
Yeah.
But once you were in there for a little while, you became nose blind. You didn't smell anything. But there was no bathroom in the cabin, so you had to leave the cabin to go to the bathroom. So that you would leave and then come back, and you would have to go through that smell all over again.
Casey, I went to Camp Taqua when I was a kid, and my son went there this year. I went down to get him set up and everything like that. The cabin smelled the exact same.
Terrible?
No. Well, okay. Maybe, but whatever. It was nostalgic, you know. If you had bottled it and brought it here, perhaps it wouldn't be the most pleasant smell. But for me, it evokes pleasant memories.
Sure.
So therefore, in my mind, it's like a skunk. You know, some people find it putrid. I actually don't mind that smell at all.
Well, for many, it reminds them of
smell like good weed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unless it's like old.
Tasty buds.
Yeah.
Hey, have you guys,
buddy.
Downstairs on the third floor in the Beasley suite down there, if you go down all the way down to like the west part of the building.
Okay.
It smells terrible down there. Because I have to go down
there
every day.
That's where the
butcher is. No, I have to go down there every day to deliver some paperwork.
Wait, like where MGK Studios are?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every time you open that door.
That's where DiBella keeps his Euro stamp.
No. To me, it's an old smell. It's older down there. The studios are older. There's like boxes and filing cabinets.
Music's
like,
older. The people are older. It's just,
that's not what I meant.
today.
We're old smelly people. Leave us alone.
That's not what
a horrible thing to say about our sister station.
I didn't even think of it.
Go away.
That's classic.
Did you bring us pudding?
It's an old, musty smell.
It's an old, musty smell.
Yeah, yes. You know what? Somebody go down there right now. Somebody go down there right now.
Like old people.
Yes. No. Hey, when I was
I've been down there. Actually, I was just down there. I did not smell that at all.
You got to go. Have you been all the way down?
I went in to wish Debbie Calton a happy anniversary. I did not smell it at all.
Oh, man.
In fact, Debbie smelled wonderful.
Well, it's because she's not that old.
Yes.
She's not that old.
There was, when I was a newspaper delivery guy, there was this one house you had to collect, you know, once every week or so. And there was this one lady's house, this old lady. And her house smelled terrible, but it wasn't like...
Come on in!
It didn't smell like, you know, it wasn't like poop or you know, cat litter. It was
You notice she can't smell poop?
It was like she was always cooking something that just smelled really, really bad. And so when
would
I would
like
go
some
there... after a while, because she would say, let me go get my purse. You know, come on in, let me get my purse. And after, like, the second or third time, I'm like, nah, I'm going to hang out here, lady.
Smell this. This is my old vibrator.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Smells like leather.
I want to go to this call, and then I'm going to move on, because I did notice some other things, but I have Tim on the line. Hi, Tim, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I love you.
What's up, man?
So I was a painter for 22 years in truck and auto body. And my sense of smell was completely ruined. Like, I could sit on the couch next to my wife doing her nail polish and didn't smell it at all. But for the last 8-9 years, I've been a salesman. So my smell has returned, but it's completely changed. Huh. There's certain smells that I don't get. My wife will be like, hey, do you smell that? And I'm like, no, I don't smell anything.
Yeah, I think you probably, like, your memory kicks in as well, and it seems normal to you. But you raise a good point, like, the thing that blows my mind, Tim, are, like, at those nail places in the mall where they have that very caustic-smelling nail polish remover, whatever they're using.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how the ladies can work in there.
Well, they wear masks.
That I don't smell at all. Now, a musty smell, I could smell that from a mile away, and it seems to have gotten stronger since I'm no longer a painter.
I'll tell you what just gets me every time is rotting body odor, right? Like sweaty, it's just horrible. It'll cause a gag reflex.
I was
thanks, Tim.
Somewhere in the beginning of the summer, and this person, I mean, they were standing about where you are to me.
Yeah, so about 10 feet.
Yeah, and I could smell them.
Jeez.
I'm like, oh, my God, dude.
Well, 1 in 15 Americans apparently smell odors that are not there.
Mm.
So it's a phantom scent, and they don't know exactly why it happens, but they're trying to figure out why they do that and find ways to prevent or treat the condition, because it's important. For you to smell things, you know, that might be dangerous.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm ready for the noticer.
Okay. Go ahead.
There you go.
The noticer. He notices things. What else will the noticer tell us about?
Let's see here. I have a lot of interesting things. How about this one? I did see this. When it comes to teen friendships, birds of a feather really do flock together, according to this. Florida Atlantic University researchers, along with collaborators, looked at nearly 400 adolescents in same-sex friendships.
Yes.
Following them from 7th grade through the end of high school. They found the more similar anxiety symptoms and depressive symptoms the subject shared, the more stable their friendships were.
I can see that, because that person is more likely to understand you.
Yeah, that's what I found this interesting, because you often think about your friends and the common things that you enjoy. You
yes.
know what I mean? The stuff that you have in common that is just a pleasure for you.
We love being anxious together.
But the fact of the matter is, the deeper relationship might come from those fears, those anxieties, and negative emotions that you share with one another.
Not positive.
Never really thought about it. No, I mean,
it's positive as well, but just also things where you're not comfortable.
The stronger the bond, the stronger that you relate to each other in this regard, the more of a bond you have.
Okay.
So it said the more similar anxiety symptoms and depressive symptoms the subject shared, the more stable their friendships were.
It's funny because Dr. Mike, my bro, Dr. Mike, he is... Yeah, he's got, we have very similar takes on so much. And just in that level of reaction and the way, you know, things that might make us anxious or where we feel the most at peace or whatever. And you're right. So those, you know, to have someone that you think really understands your different takes on things, it means a lot, you know?
My best friend, Steve, was in town and we went and did a golf trip for a few days. And on that trip, we talked a lot.
He gets you.
I shared things that I am afraid of.
Yes.
Or that I... You know, which I would not feel comfortable speaking about unless it's somebody that I really have a deep friendship with.
You also have a subtext and a context that, you know, that are all there from years.
Years.
You know,
yep.
It makes a difference.
Yeah, I think maybe that's why 12-step programs are so crucial to people that are trying to, you know, beat a drug habit or an alcohol habit is, you know, when you can... sit down and have a conversation and talk about all these things with like-minded people that, you know, aren't necessarily there to judge, but sort of empathize, maybe, you know, that's
to support
the same thing. Same idea behind that.
I think initial bonds can often come from laughter and joyous times, but lasting bonds can come from struggle and opening up to somebody about things that you're going through. And if they are empathetic to those and sympathetic to them, then those are the bonds that that last a really long time.
The study co-author said behavior similarity is tremendously important to a friendship. Shared feelings and shared experiences are the glue that holds friendship together. And also said an important takeaway from our study is that children's personal struggles need not adversely impact their social relationships. Mental health issues do not necessarily ruin chances of making and maintaining worthwhile friendships and relationships. So I thought that was kind of an interesting take on that. I never really thought about it. I usually think about just the positives that you share with each other.
The noticer, dealing with matters of the heart.
It's crazy, man. All right, what else?
More from the noticer as he delves into his list of things that he's already noticed, so you don't have to.
That's why I do it.
Yeah.
How about this? Another interesting one.
Ooh.
A new study finds the luckier you think you are, the more luck you'll have.
So it's sort of a self-fulfilling approach.
It actually says at the top here, luck is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Okay, so I have had this feeling.
Mm-hmm. It's like the vagina is a self-cleaning oven, as Tyra Banks told us.
I have had this feeling for the last couple of months that I am going to win the lottery. And I don't know why. You know, it stems from a dream. Not like a Powerball lottery, but like a scratch-off ticket.
Okay.
I just, for some reason, have had this feeling that it has not happened yet, by the way, guys.
In Deadpool 2, I'm forgetting her name, the character who's lucky all the time.
Oh, yeah, Domino. Yeah.
Domino. Yeah. I think you can affect, to a certain point, your level of luck. I think what you do is you maybe just increase your odds of being in opportunities where you can be lucky.
It also has to do with optimists and pessimists. It says here that the study they had participants complete the life orientation test. That sounds interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is that like the SAT?
Revealed if participants were optimists or pessimists. Next, participants rated the luck of people in ambiguous real life stories as unlucky, somewhat unlucky, somewhat lucky, or lucky. The scientists found a connection between how optimistic a participant was and how lucky they thought others were. In other words, the more optimistic the participant, the more they think others are lucky, and the more of a pessimist they were, the more likely they were to see others as having bad luck. Ultimately, researchers have found that two people with identical experiences may frame the same facts completely differently.
Of course.
And the way they'll tell themselves their story will dictate how they feel, how others feel about them, and even their future luck or lack thereof. So you kind of make it what it is.
Do you label yourself an optimist or a pessimist?
I think I'm an optimist.
Okay.
You know, I'm not overtly one or the other. I don't always err on the side of let's be positive. Let's see the positive in this.
Yes.
A lot of times my initial reaction on things can be a negative one. Oh, crap. Great. Oh, that's awesome. You know,
very that sounds very optimistic.
Yeah, doesn't it, though?
Oh, this is awesome.
But I think more so I like to consider myself an optimist. How about you?
Yes, I would say with a caveat, which is that, you know, I I'm good at saying, okay, this may not be good, but we have this. You know, I can always sort of look, I will see the light in everything. I'm a wonderful person. No, yeah. I just
feel fortunate if that means anything.
Yes, blessed and all that stuff. I think I can see. You know, my mother kind of was very responsible for that in me. You know, she was sick and stuff. She still managed to always see positive everywhere. And I think, yeah, there's as long as your eyes are open, you're in the game. Keep going, you know?
I'm going to be a nerd and make this about Harry Potter for a second.
All right.
There's a luck potion in one of the Harry Potter books. And
is it just a placebo?
It's both.
Okay.
And so the way that J.K. Rowling writes about it is sometimes it is a self-fulfilling prophecy because Ron ends up not taking the potion even though he thought that he did. And he has great luck as a result because he goes in confident thinking that he had taken the potion.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really good way to frame that kind of a thing.
Okay, that makes kind of makes sense.
And the notion that you make your own luck,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, you can. And
even deeper from the notice.
Yes!
He's going into our souls, peeling back the layers, and showing us all we're all human.
All right, we've gone a little deep.
God bless the noticer.
We went a little deep on those.
We went really deep, like three knuckles.
Yes. Wow. Want something a little lighter?
Something lighter from the noticer.
How about there are a lot of different things I have here that are worth bringing up. Okay.
Tearing through page after page.
How about this? There was a poll of 1,000 Americans that reveals their travel bucket list and how they feel about them. 77% they say they have a travel bucket list, but just 3% of that group say that they've actually visited all of the destinations on their list. I would hope that my bucket list would never end of travel.
Yeah, why wait? You know what I mean? Well, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, always want to.
Mine's lifelong.
Yeah. 52% say that they are likely to visit a destination on their bucket list. 45% say they are unlikely to visit it. The top reason is it costs too much, obviously, because, you know, you're going to aim pretty high when you think about bucket list.
Never stops the hobos.
That you may want to go to. Other reasons for not traveling to the destinations include dreaming big but not following through.
What's your number one destination on your bucket list?
Number one. Well, I guess furthest destination would be New Zealand.
Okay.
And that's retirement travel because it takes too damn long to get there. And it's really expensive. And, you know.
You want to spend a lot of time there. How much time would you want to spend there?
A couple weeks.
Yeah?
Yeah, a couple weeks, I think.
A couple weeks?
How far is it?
It's halfway around the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
like, is it a 24-hour
Australia.
Flight?
Nick, you would know better. No, it's like 14 hours or something like that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's a long-ass flight. But, I mean, every time I start to consider, okay, we got to start thinking about family vacation this year, where you want to go. And there are things like, you know, there's obvious ones like, well, we should go to Hawaii. But then I think about, wow, the American West. I want to go back and I want to explore that a little bit more. I've never really done much exploring in Canada.
Wally World.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Come on. You know, I'd like to go to Iceland sometime.
Iceland. Japan for me. Yeah. Absolutely. I'd like to go see, you know, Russia. You know, there are some places that are just for their... you know, it's just amazing stuff.
Iceland's not that far, though.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Nick's been there.
I went in March.
Yeah.
And it's 5 hours or so. It's closer than England. So it's very doable. It's expensive. So if anybody's thinking about going to Iceland, save now because it
costs a lot. And there
are
stone storms.
Yeah, yeah. Wind is a serious issue. My bucket list for my life is all of the national parks in the U.S. system.
And how many are there, by the way?
There are 59 or 60, depending on how many you count. The farthest one away is in American Samoa, I think. So it's like somewhere way out in the Pacific past Hawaii. And there are 8 alone in Alaska. And I haven't been to Alaska yet. So Bill went to Denali last year.
It's amazing.
And it is. I haven't been. I've heard it's amazing.
But Alaska alone could warrant multiple trips.
Yeah. I mean, Alaska is like half the size of the United States. So you could... And when you go to, there's a place called Gates of the Arctic National Park. You can't drive there. You have to be flown in. They drop you off. And then a week later, they come back and they pick you up.
I think there are more private planes in any state in Alaska.
Yeah.
There are more pilots in Alaska than in any other state. It was a huge state, but it's a big way to get around because of so many remote locations.
Because you have to.
You have to do it that way.
You could fit Texas and Africa
in Alaska.
Not
if
Africa.
He didn't put Africa in.
If he didn't put Africa
right.
in.
So
yes.
Right.
Africa, how about you? What's a...
Japan, definitely.
Okay, Japan.
Yeah.
Casey,
yeah.
You got any?
Yes, everywhere. But
so you haven't really thought about it?
No.
Oh, no.
Well,
what about on a more refined... I mean, on a bucket list that says that I've got to get, I would like to get to. What's in the I would like to get to?
Well, Sheboygan.
So, Sheboygan.
No.
Sheboygan?
I was
the Conservatory of Music.
I was at Joshua Tree State Park, or I'm sorry, National Park, a couple of years ago, but I was only there for a hot minute, so I need to get back there and spend more time there. You mentioned American West. Like, I need to do Glacier, Yellowstone.
That's actually...
Jellystone. I got to be at Jellystone.
Jellystone Park is great. Watch out for that Ranger Smith, though.
Big Sur. Just so many, and, like, I want to do, like, America before I do anything else. You know?
No, it's certainly well worth it. I thank my years in stand-up for getting me around everywhere, you know, every state in the country. It's amazing, you know. There's still a lot to see, though.
I want to drive across this country so terribly
nude.
Bad. if I had to do it nude, then I would do that.
You know, I have a hard time finding those locations that you don't think about. I mean, I always gravitate towards the obvious ones. And Nick, you've ended up, like your last couple of vacations, you've ended up in spots I've never heard of before. And then I see pictures and I'm like, dear God, how have I never heard of this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you pinpoint these locations?
Just a lot of research.
Asking around?
Yeah.
Or you just look online? Because online tends to send you in the same directions all the time.
Right.
I'm sorry to interrupt, no. but if you put in a, you know, exotic vacations in the United States, or, you know, most popular place, blah, 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 blah. It ends up being
DVDA.
You will not get one park.
No. It tends to send you to the same places every time.
Right. And I think one of the great things about Instagram and one of the curses of Instagram is that people will post these exotic locations that are attainable and you can get to them. Sometimes they become overly popular as a result. So they're really cool photos or they're neat places. But, yeah, I mean, I ended up at a place called Maroon Bells on my Colorado vacation.
Never heard of it.
And most people haven't. And it's these incredible mountain. And it's not a national park. I think it's a national recreation area. It's not too terribly far from Aspen. But if not for some online posts, I don't think I would have known about it as well. But, the way that I do it is I look at a map. I love maps because I'm a dork, and I will start narrowing it down from there. And I'll be like, all right, I want to go to Colorado this summer. Here's a bunch of different places that I haven't been to. And for me, like when you start planning around national parks, the other parts of the trip start to fill themselves in. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, if you even right in our backyard, like I was during the time off, I was hiking a lot, and the Wissahickon Trail and all the various trails around here. There's some beautiful areas that a lot of people don't realize are just right in your backyard.
I want to do the Appalachian Trail. I'd like to see if I could get that done. I don't care if I have to do it in stages.
Yeah,
you know, because it would take too long to get it all done at once. But if I had the time at the after I retire or whatever to do it all at once, that would be pretty amazing.
Here's a bucket list thing I want to do, and Bill will jump all over for the privilege thing. Mm-hmm. But I forgot exactly now, but it's glamping. Yeah. And I found this place. It's something Paws Resort. I forgot what it was, but dear God, does it look awesome?
Where is it?
I mean, like butler service, the whole thing. It's out west.
It's a splurgecation.
Did you
Utah
see what
or
something like that? But it looked amazing, and it could be super duper expensive.
So we have a guy named Tim Graham in our sales department.
Yes.
Did you see what he did over the past? It was early, and so he glamped. Oh, geez,
it was at
West Yellowstone.
It was a nice. He had these nice tents pre-done. Now there's glamping can go up even far more, but he had a wonderful situation. You know, the bed, the whole thing. I'm not sure about the plumbing. I think it was pretty decent.
Oh, I found it.
You did.
Paws Up Resort. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, but it was Casey. It's a tick up from just regular camping.
Yeah. Yeah, let me see if I can.
Where is it?
It is in.
It's here.
Montana. It's in Montana.
Oh,
yeah, it's pretty badass.
Okay.
Did they give you prices?
I'm a childhood friend.
Stupid.
$40,000 a night.
No, but it's over $1,000 a night. It's you know, it's super.
And your butler's a bear.
How much a night?
I think it's over. I would imagine it's over $1,000.
There is a place actually in the Poconos, about 3 hours away. And I called because it's sort of like a kind of like a girls getaway or something like that. And I called to see how much it was. Just shy over $1,000 a night to go there.
Yeah,
I was like,
I know. This place, Casey, has like hot air balloon rides. And, okay, you know it's. They do everything for you.
I was talking with the same friends that I was talking to the other day about the cost of Bucknell, and one of the guys has brothers-in-law who are very wealthy, and they were renting a house in Park City, Utah.
Yeah.
$6,500 a night. $6,500.
Now, was it a couple of guys in on a place?
I mean, yes.
Was it 6,500 guys?
It was, no. It was several families, but $6,500 a night.
I know.
It's insane.
You better have HBO. You ever see those, you know, those motel signs, HBO and air conditioning? Oh, wow. Excellent.
This, so here's the bathroom in your tent, Kathy.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't mind camping. Yeah. I'll go camping. Yeah.
It's not in the tent.
let's just call spade a spade.
It looked like a tent.
Yeah. It's a 35 story tent.
Well, they just removed the roof and they put canvas on it. Right.
Yeah. I just to use the elevator in my tent.
But I mean, I'm going to look when the day arrives that retirement enters my life.
When you can't smell anything.
When I can't smell anything anymore. No, I want to travel. It's what I want to do.
Dad does. My dad's 90.
And if I were to hit the lottery like you're going to very soon, Casey, I would spend my time traveling. It would be so much fun.
It's a big old world.
It is a big world. It's country too, man.
It's just expensive to get there, and that's the issue. Well, so,
I told you earlier. Yeah. It doesn't stop the hobos.
No.
Ride the rails.
You and Ironweed heading off to Montana.
That's what those van life people do. I mean, you know, they travel the West, mostly the West, although it's around the country. But they do it on the cheap, and it does not have to be a $6,500 a night place to enjoy what this country has to offer.
There was some videos that they posted up, the couple, and they were at these hot springs that they'd found. It just looked like paradise. It was awesome.
Yeah. I wonder if it's paradise all the time, though.
Well, unless you can fit my big screen TV in that van. No.
I'm going to go to Joe. Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Hey, Preston, Steve. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, Joe?
Good. Hey, listen, I just want to tell you guys really quick. My in-laws are in Minnesota, so we drive out to Minnesota every summer. I'm fortunate enough to be able to do my work in Minnesota for a month and a half out there. Leave Philadelphia, go out there and work. But during the summer, we usually spend 2 weeks and we just travel around. So this year we drove from Minnesota, southeastern Minnesota, to Yellowstone, and then Yellowstone up to Glacier. Mm-hmm. And then Glacier, the way back, we crossed Wyoming. And the way back from Wyoming, we stopped at this park called Teddy Roosevelt State Park.
Okay.
It was like the Badlands of North Dakota.
Wow.
And it was really awesome about it because we didn't even know there was Badlands in North Dakota. We, you know, the Badlands around Keystone and stuff like that, where the, you know, where the faces are in the mountain. I always forget
Mount Rushmore. The name of it.
Thank you, Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
You know, they're in
Mount Rushmore. Yeah, go ahead. It's okay. Go ahead.
I was not impressed. You're looking at Mount Rushmore.
Turn around.
Behind you is Mount Rushmore.
Look at that round.
It was really cool because there was wild horses there in the Badlands, which was really weird, along with you know, the bison and stuff like that.
You saw wild horses?
Yeah, Joe, I was reading about Teddy Roosevelt National Park. It's a national park in North Dakota, and it's split into two different locations. And the reason I was reading about it is that the two best places to see wildlife in the United States are Yellowstone National Park and Teddy Roosevelt National Park.
No kidding.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where's Mount Rushmore?
So that was the thing, though. And it was great for taking pictures at night. The stars, there was billions of stars.
Oh my God! I mean, places, you know, like Monument Park, or you know, any of those things. Monument Mark.
Amazing. Yeah.
Remember, the one thing about Yellowstone and Glacier is
it's outside.
Far in Glacier. It was awesome. It was right on the lake, looking at the mountains.
Yes.
And then Yellowstone, we stayed at the old Old Faithful Inn, and then the Teddy Roosevelt cabins, which were these little tiny shacks.
Yeah.
Kind of milieu, but you have to make your reservations like a year in advance.
Oh, sure.
That was the hardest thing about it. Mm-hmm. Just keep that in mind also.
All right. Thanks, man. Yeah, I've been to Yellowstone three times. It's amazing. And there are that's the crown jewel out there. But there are so many other little spots like the Teddy Roosevelt location I was not aware of. And
Rushmore.
And Mount Rushmore. Someday.
Yosemite. That's another one I want to go to.
I've been. It's incredible.
It was closed for a week.
Painting.
Fires.
Fires. Yeah.
No, but they. The thing about these parks is they've really become overrun with tourists.
I know.
And
so
it's
and too many animals.
Yeah. I mean, come on with that.
I felt the same way when I went to Acadia a few years ago. I was like, man, it's so crowded here. But when we went to watch the sunrise on Cadillac Mountain. Afterwards, everybody went home, and we went hiking, and that was the best time.
Can I tell you how to get it open and get it all to yourself? Start a brush fire.
Yes.
Honestly. You'll see. It's just great.
You'll see the crowds part, and you'll have it all for yourself. All right, interesting. Well, that was just a couple of things I noticed this morning, but maybe you have a bucket list.
Noticer has just told us about bucket lists, mm-hmm. and then earlier he reached into our hearts and made us better people.
I try.
This has been The Noticer.
We'll do it again sometime. We're going to take a break, and I should give something away.
Yes.
Casey is handing me this. I have a pair of run of engagement passes to see the new action thriller Mile 22 of Mark Wahlberg. And they're good Monday through Thursday at any Regal cinema throughout the Philadelphia area. Mile 22 is in theaters nationwide now. So let's take three callers at 215-263-WMMR. We'll give you those. We'll be back in just a second.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds, to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, gang, it's Preston. Listen, these days, you know how it is. You can get practically everything you want on demand. I mean, it's like our podcast. You listen whenever you want, when it's convenient for you. But did you know that you can even get postage on demand? Hey, all you need is stamps.com. What is that? Well, I'm here to tell you, friends, with stamps.com, you can access all the services of the post office and do it right from your desk. All available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You just click, you print, you mail, and you're done, my friend. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale so you can weigh your letters and packages and print the exact amount of postage every single time. Here's what you got to do to get it all, gang. Right now, use Gadzooks for a special free offer. They have a 4-week trial that includes postage and the digital scale. So don't wait on this. You want to check it out now. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in the word Gadzooks. Once again, that's stamps.com and enter Gadzooks. Check this out.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Dickhead.
Nice. What's up, Steve?
I just wanted to hit this, actually. It was supposed to be a shard out, but it's for a charity. And the gentleman was in here last week as an audience member. He'd bid on a charity, so he said we'd return the favor. It is a comedy show that's coming up, and it's going to benefit the Shore Animal Volunteer Enterprise, and they're going to save.
Is this from Jerry Torres?
Jerry Torres.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's Friday, August 24th, and it's a comedy show to benefit the Save the Rescue Shelter, Tom's River. Excuse me. For tickets, you can contact 732-279-3470. We'll put the information up on the website. It's at the Laughter Lounge, and it also says Daddy-O's. It's kind of some conflicting information on here. Anyway, it's coming up this Friday, August 24th. It's a comedy show in the Toms River area, and if you're interested in helping out, he's going to be performing and a couple of other people, and it's to save this this rescue shelter, save the rescue shelter at Toms River. So we'll put the information up on Preston. Steve, if you want to see a comedy show and you're in that area and you want to do something good, that might be an option.
Nice. Listen, tonight we have a chance for you to win. MM Army and Marissa will be at Destination Dog on Walnut Street in Philadelphia, 1111 Walnut. It is the Miller Lite London Calling Green Legion trip to head with us to London for the Eagles playing live and hold the deal. Well, the Eagles playing live. It's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right. Not the band.
Not the band.
Not the band.
Desperado.
No, they have a game in London, and we're going to be there broadcasting live. So join Marissa tonight. You could be one of the finals. You could win tickets to a home game as well. And Miller Lite is going to have specials on board. So 7 to 9 tonight, Destination Dog, 1111 Walnut Street. Marissa will be there. Piece of audio to play. Post Malone.
Oh, your fave.
Yeah, we were on the call last night, and somebody said Post Malone almost had a crash, and I just pretended like I knew who you were talking about.
What's this about provolone?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know what
you were
talking
Kathy
about.
I saw Kathy tweet about Post Malone the other day. And
yesterday.
Yeah. No, it was actually 2 days ago.
No, it wasn't. It was yesterday because he was on a plane, and he was circling, and there was breaking news that they were circling. They couldn't land because of the landing gear on
and
the plane.
And they were burning up the fuel, too. Because
right,
it's part of the
yeah.
They blew out a tire on takeoff.
Yeah, it was a chartered flight, I guess, a jet.
Uh-huh.
And so it's, you know, maybe him and about 15, 16 other people on the jet.
All right.
And the tire blew out, and we have the pilot who is very calm. We were always marveling at pilots in these situations. It could be really dangerous maintaining their cool, and here's another example.
Yep, here we go.
Sir, we just thought the tire blew, so we might need to come back, sir. Just thought we might have blown a tire, sir. We blew a tire, so we need to come back, sir. Yeah, we're not going to declare an emergency, sir, but we like to just head back. Right turn for 2-4 and clear to land.
Listen to this guy. Yeah. Yeah, the front end of the airplane fell off. And
we're not going to declare an emergency.
If we come back.
That'll be back.
The whole engine blew out, and about 3 people were sucked out through an open window, but we'd really like to come back.
Right turn for 2-4 and clear to land. Sir, we're descending to 1500 for 101 traffic. Okay, sir, and if it's okay, could we hold for just to burn some fuel, get our weight down?
Oh, my God.
Do you mind if we just kind of hang out so the plane doesn't...
burst into flames?
Yeah, destroying the ball of fire.
Last thing we want to do is be a pain, but the entire plane's engulfed in flames, and my co-pilot just shot himself. So... You can help us out. You can float us a solid, Greg. Get back to me if you can.
Yeah. So they were circling on purpose.
You know,
I didn't realize
just
going
to text you from now on. I don't want to be a nuisance.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, when an aircraft, in some occasions, when it looks like there's going to be trouble, they dump their fuel.
Yeah.
Less of a chance to cause a big ball of fire. And I guess these guys were going to burn it up.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Here's the last part.
3.5 hours of fuel, and we have 16 souls on board for 101 Troy Vicker.
How much time? Wait a second. Hold on.
Get our weight down. 3.5 hours of fuel, and we have 16 souls on board for 101 Troy Vicker.
Oh, something and a half hours of fuel. Yeah. I didn't catch that. But all right, and then you have
Post Malone
Post himself.
Post.
Uh-huh.
PM, as most people call him.
Saying he was frightened. Here we go.
Oh, my God. I hate flying in general. And then, you know, I don't even know what to say, man. I'm shook. Yeah, hell yeah. There's one hell of a team on that aircraft, and... we're here, and we're here on Earth, and I need a beer, and I need some wine at the same time.
a beer and some wine at the same time.
That's what I tweeted yesterday, Case, his quote, that he needed beer and wine mixed together at the same time.
Do you know what it reminded me of, President? It was just recently Kevin Hart's run in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he had his similar deal.
They had a landing gear issue and made it, so...
what happened when he landed? I never saw what happened to the plane. Like, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if they just if they landed on a flattened, blown tire and
jack it up, change the tire, and take off again.
Oh my gosh!
No, I'm just wondering if it shredded on landing or anything like that. So I'm not really sure, Kath. But apparently everybody was okay.
Let me ask you something, and this is just I know you're not going to know, but I would assume why can't they have run flat tires on those tires?
Good question. They might weigh too much.
That's what I was wondering.
Because it's solid rubber inside of the run flat tires. But that's a really good question.
This is a shredding issue. Would they not shred as easily? I don't know.
Well, I'm not really sure. Maybe. So we're looking at video footage of the aircraft coming in for a landing, and
they didn't have the fire engines or anything set up. So I guess.
Well, you remember the guy said, we don't declare an emergency, so don't worry about it.
We've got no landing.
Chingy was there with the fire extinguisher.
Was he?
Yes.
That guy. He's so cool. Hey, something completely non-related to that, but I did have a question because the other day I had some friends in from out of town.
Is this your new character, the Inquisitor?
No, it's not the Inquisitor. but I am curious if other businesses have this. So a friend of him from out of town, his kids came along with him, and they stopped in to hang out for a little bit. And one of them had a video camera and was filming some stuff around here.
Yes.
And left the case to the camera in our kitchen on the table. Well, our kitchen table here at WMMR means fair game.
It means take it.
If you put it on the table,
it's going.
You can have it.
Yes.
And that's pretty.
That's
it's an unwritten rule. Nobody's ever, there's no sign.
No.
Nobody's ever really said anything. But if you put it on the table, it's fair game and you can take it. And when I tell you that it wasn't on there for longer than 5 minutes, I might even be saying that a bit long. It was maybe on for 3 or 4 minutes. And it was gone.
Mm-hmm. Right. So CDs will end up there. Food will end up there. Everything is up for grabs.
Yeah. Not
T-shirts.
Stolen.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just stuff.
Yeah.
And I've brought in things. I've brought in, you know, gifts that I don't really want.
Yeah.
And
like that home beer maker.
And it, and it put it on the table and it's been up for grabs. Is that common that people have an area where it's,
I wonder.
If it's there, it's free?
I don't remember any area of any past job where it was so clearly accepted that one area was
there. You know what? We didn't have that at Y100.
No.
There was not a free table.
Right. Yeah, you're right. It might be.
We didn't have really a technical kitchen area where people could sit around.
We did when we moved to Conchi.
In Conchi we did,
not in the media offices.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
You need an area like that.
Yeah, but it's wild because there will be times when I'm at home and, you know, just trying to purge some things. And, I mean, in years past, it would be like, all right, I'm just tossing this. I'm just throwing this away.
I'm taking it to work.
And now I'll look at it. Well, yeah. I won't take it to
work.
I'll
do it. If it's stuff that I have, yes. Maybe other people might want this.
Yeah, I won't take it to work if I know that it's junk.
Yeah.
But if I look at it, I go, you know what? Somebody will take this. You know, like old movies or CDs or whatever it is.
And you'll be surprised what will move out there.
Oh, my God, anything.
Why not?
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah.
Somebody will want
Styrofoam. I could use this.
I'm trying to think of the weird stuff that I've placed out there because I cleaned out a portion of our basement where we just store stuff and things that have, and if it's been there for like, you know, 8 or 9 years, at some point I'm going to, and it's not sentimental, it's just there.
Yeah.
We have it. I want to get rid of it. And
did you put some booze out there one time?
Nick cleaned out his booze. I cleaned out my booze. I put a bunch out there.
I put a Keurig out there.
You put a Keurig out there?
I put a Keurig out there, yes.
Okay, and that went, obviously.
Reardon took that. It wasn't because Reardon was doing the overnight, and he snagged that on the way out.
I've put like collectible things that are just like,
sure,
who would want this? And they disappear.
And you never have to put a sign that says take it.
No.
It's just taken.
No, I mean, you do have to put things on there. This is not. Don't take this.
I would not run that risk.
Nah.
By the way, the case that was taken was returned. It wasn't stolen.
Who stole? Who decided that they were going to rob?
No, I will because he didn't do anything wrong. It was Marcus, and he was really he felt really guilty.
He felt
about
horrible,
it, but he had nothing.
He had no idea.
Nothing to worry about.
He told me. I talked to him after, and he was like, "I thought, oh, cool, camera case."
No, the kids didn't know. They didn't know it was their fault for putting it there, and it's not their fault technically because they didn't know about it. But anyway. It's Marcus, don't worry about it, dude. It was no big deal when we got it back. I just had to mail it to him because they were leaving that day. But,
and it's just and like,
I assume Marcus is going to give you the money.
He's going to pay for the shipping.
But I feel bad for Marcus. Like he's never here at that time
he
of the
never
day.
Is,
like
no,
it was just a weird turn of events.
Wait, this is interesting. Let me go to David. Hey, David. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Chris Allen. How are you?
What's up, David?
Where I work. We have an area that does that exact thing.
Okay.
There's an employee lounge. There's a sidebar on the employee lounge. It's not some more of a lounge and a lunchroom. Anything you leave on there, fair game.
All right. And it's understood. It's cool with everybody.
Understood. No one complains. No one, nothing. And to take it one step further.
Okay.
Anything left in the company refrigerator on Friday afternoon, fair game.
Anything left on the that's actually an interesting idea.
That
the only difference is here you have people who are working all weekend.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, it's around the clock.
Yeah.
But I like that idea, though, of on a specific date, the fridge is up for grabs, because we've had the conversation many times that a lot of contention can happen over the company fridge and taking stuff that you're not supposed to. I mean, there's been.
About cars left in the parking lot?
You can have those, too. Yeah,
yeah. I do think, you know, just
David,
talking about putting things in the fridge, that maybe there should be the standard. You got to put a date on the, you know, when you put your thing in the fridge, right?
Well, not just a random date.
No. The
March
actual 15th, day.
12/20.
No.
I think you should be responsible for throwing out your rotting food.
We could easily facilitate that. You can get the post-it note little holders that you can stick on the side of the fridge with with a pen.
Yeah.
Post-its.
And just pop it out and write the date on it and pop it in there.
Because a lot of times people will just forget that they even put it in the fridge. And listen, I rarely go into that fridge. Rarely.
I go in for creamers.
Yeah, I don't even do that. But, you know, if you open that fridge and you're looking for something and you see something that's been in there for a month, then, yeah, you should be able to toss that thing.
Yeah. People are texting in about leaving stuff out in front of their house and having it taken, or throwing stuff out in the trash and it disappears. Yeah.
What is that Craigslist classification?
Curb stompers. Yeah. Curb stompers.
But it's, it really is. Listen, we have college students here that are interns that could probably, you know, I just know when I was in school, you know, DVDs and, well, at the time, VHSs as well.
Yeah.
That was like currency right there.
Sure. You know? I'm going to go to Jen next. Hey, Jen, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Jen?
Hey, I just wanted to say at my work, we do that all the time. You'll always find tomatoes and cucumbers and all vegetables from everyone's garden.
From home gardens.
That's a great idea.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That makes total sense.
Leftover birthday cake from parties over the weekend.
What about Halloween candy?
Sometimes I just go, you're hungry, you just go in the kitchen. There's always something.
Nice.
And here, actually, now we're under construction because our sister stations and everybody's moving up to the fourth floor in the building.
Yeah.
But when that happens, I mean, we're going to have pandemonium because everybody's going to have, you know, when there's a floor separation, you may not just walk over and see what's there. But our kitchen here was really the most hopping kitchen for food and leftovers. Yeah. I mean, and people just come up. We had an employee here who I don't think would ever buy lunch on the off chance.
That there'd be food.
That there'd be food, yeah.
Or not.
What was the best haul that you – I'm sure you've never taken anything off of that kitchen table other than food. What's the best haul that you think you've gotten?
Something that I've –
somebody left.
I did take a sweatshirt one time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I took some of Nick's old booze. I don't know if I ended up. I took some limoncello that you had.
Oh yeah,
but
that was good stuff.
I don't know if I drank it or not.
You came in one time with a $50 bottle of champagne, which is like one of my favorite champagnes. And you were like, "Yeah, I mean, we're just not going to drink this." I was like, made my day.
Well, we had like five bottles of champagne that had been around for years, and I'm like, I need to make room. You can have this.
Don't worry, I drink it.
Do you have a bar?
I do have a bar.
Okay.
A bar. I got a bar.
A bar.
A bar.
Yes, I do have a bar. Let me go to Francesca. Francesca, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Gadzooks.
I'm calling. I work at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and we have a staff lounge.
Yes.
And you put, I'm talking like a half-bitten piece of pizza down on the table. It's gone in 35 seconds if you put it in the middle.
Let me ask you, Francesca. So with our table, it was never mentioned. It's just a sort of... what is and accept it.
When I got there, they told me, like, don't put your leftover fries in the middle because someone will take them from you.
It's mainly food, Francesca?
It could be anything. Like, some people bring in beer from parties, old fruitcakes for Christmas, but people bring in goods too. Like, I made my husband bring in some stuff we were trying to get rid of from our house.
Yeah.
It's actually a good idea, and you don't think about it a lot of times. If you're getting rid of something, what am I going to do with this? Bring it in.
Bring it in. Somebody will take it.
Yeah, I'm taking it. That way I can get rid of it.
And then if nobody takes it, somebody will throw it away. You know? It'll sit on the table.
The only way it doesn't work is if you're a toll collector.
Yeah.
Hey,
Kat, you're the only one in there.
Let me ask you a question because I think you'll probably get grossed out at this. But so pools have a lost and found table, right? And I'm not saying taking anything, but I've gone to the pool with the kids. And they have forgotten a towel, right?
Oh,
and I'm like, well, just go to the lost and found and use that towel.
One.
And then put it back when you're done.
But
don't take it. But If goggles.
We did.
Pink eye.
I don't think.
Pink eye.
I don't think goggles would gross me out as much, but I forgot a bathing suit for Jace once when he was doing swim lessons, and they were like, you can go through the Lost and Found. I was like, no. We'll reschedule.
I stole from Lost and Found one time.
Did you?
Maybe a couple of times.
You found it.
The wallet?
No. At golf courses.
Oh.
They always have
range
Lost
finder?
And Found. No, not range finder. I wouldn't go that big.
Okay.
Club head cover.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah, they're cheap, and yeah, you know. Yeah. And I remember getting bought a used club online, and I forgot to get a head cover for it. So I remember going to a golf course, going, "Hey, did somebody leave a head cover here?" Blah blah blah. Boxes out there in the cart. Go take a look, and you can just sip through, and this one will work.
This is mine.
Took it. Yeah,
yeah.
And the chances are it's been sitting there for years. Nobody hasn't come around and gotten it. So yeah, I've stolen.
I was
lost and found.
I was hiking one time, and I saw this person had a really nice North Face jacket, and I was like, I commented on it, and he said, "Oh yeah, I'm a teacher at this school, and the kids just left it there at the end of the school year.
Yeah.
Lost and found, went unclaimed, so I ganked it. Totally.
You know
took
what?
It.
At the end of the year at a school like that, mm-hmm. is that maybe they?
I know in colleges a lot of times, especially like international students, they'll leave like full on TVs.
Oh
and,
sure,
yeah.
It, not just international students. I got in trouble at school one time, and I had to stay behind and clean out the dorm rooms. And people are just lazy.
You're like, this is a punishment?
Well, it was. Right? I got money. I got clothes. I got people are just didn't want to pack up the stuff and move it, and so they just would leave it behind in the dorm.
Wow.
Rooms. Yeah. Total laziness.
Wow. Let me go to, hang on a second here. I have, Dan. Hi, Dan, you're on the air. Good morning. Is your name Dan?
Don?
Is there a robot in the room?
Din?
All right, we lost him. He was saying same thing, food in cafeteria becomes up for grabs when you put it on a specific table.
Oh.
But leftovers, I'd be a little hesitant.
Well, also something that's been bitten. You don't somebody's, know what, yeah.
Somebody's been picking through.
I have a horrible oral condition.
Right. We
enjoy.
However, we have restaurants that come in and cater.
Yes.
And so when we're done serving everybody, they put the serving containers over there, and it's a little bit different than someone's plate.
It's like a regular buffet at the table.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Let me go to Casey saying line 4. So I have Roy. Hi, Roy. Good morning.
Roy! Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
No, not much. We were going out golfing early, like 5:30. I was picking my buddy up, and he was waiting on the curb for us and had to run back in to go to the bathroom. He left his clubs on the curb, ran in. We came to pick them up. They were gone.
Oh, my God.
Somebody thought that somebody put the clubs out for trash, and they went by and scooped them up.
See, but so when I initially saw your story, I'm like, no, that was not hearing the context. I was thinking, no, that's just flat out theft. Someone stole them. But if it's out at the curb,
is it trash day by any chance?
No.
But you sometimes you think
sometimes it doesn't matter. People will put in anticipation of trash day, if you'd or that someone will take them.
And you and see so it?
I'll see. A lot of times there's a sign that will say free.
Right.
On it or something like that. But, man.
I live in Delco, so.
There you go.
Free cat. Right.
Did you ever track the guy down, or was his clubs are gone?
Gone.
Dude, they give me thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm a hacker, so they want all that.
Okay.
But still. I'm at a garage sale anyway.
Wow. All right. Thanks, Roy.
Yeah, appreciate a lot of times, trash days on like a Tuesday, you'll see people driving around on Monday night,
we have
with their pickup truck. And
who go around, these guys are like, the whole weekend, and they go around and they're waiting to pick up stuff. And I guess they recycle a lot of copper or whatever, but they scour the area, sure. And they actually move a lot of stuff out of it.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Chuck next. Hey, Chuck, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, my kid plays hockey. And I guess if you scrounge around enough, almost every hockey rink has a completely full Lost and Found, and the stuff just stays in there for weeks. If one of the kids forgets something, you're like, go check Lost and Found. Oh, okay, I got a new pair of skates or a helmet or whatever. I mean, you could probably get a whole setup.
Yeah, there's no overseer. There's no one person that oversees the Lost and Found.
True.
And goes, oh, yes, oh, well, here you go. This is yours.
So legally, in these cases, I would, and I think we all would prefer that the person gets back something that they lost. But sure. I'm hearing story after story of the stuff just stays there.
It, yeah.
It stays, it stays for months, and then, like, I talked to somebody at one of the rinks, and they said, oh, yeah, we just give it all to, like, Goodwill or whatever at the end, but, you know, whatever.
Goodwill? What are they going to do with it?
I don't know. They just sell it.
They're doing a good thing with it.
Interesting. All right, thanks, Chuck. No, you're right. There were, you know, some people will just, it was either too far away or they've forgotten about it, and then by the time they remember, they can't recall where the last time they had this particular item is, and they just let it go, and it stays there. It's, you know, permanently resides in the lost or found.
How many times in your life have you gone back and checked, had a lost and found checked, and found what you were looking for? A
couple times.
Okay.
Yeah, it has been a couple times where I've been, oh, man, you guys found it. Thank you.
I had these awesome, and I still have them, these Ray-Ban sunglasses, yeah. And I went through at the airport, and they fell out of the bag or whatever it was. It fell out in the X-ray machine. And I didn't notice it until I was already gone. I can't. I had to have been when I went out west to the Joshua Tree area. And when I came back, Steve, I went to the Lost and Found, and they were there.
Wow!
I couldn't
believe
it.
Kidding me?
Yes.
That's pretty miraculous.
I had some friends not that long ago. Were in Central Park,
yeah.
In New York. Had just gone on a shopping spree. Had their bags with them. Left the bags. Walked away somewhere else. And complete like an hour late, completely forgot about it. Came back, gone. They went and spoke to the park police. Sure enough, somebody picked it up and took the lost and found, man. And there was a lot of valuable stuff in there as well.
How amazing.
Very impressed with that.
Yes.
Very impressed with that.
I have a friend who's a bartender, and she just sent me a text that she said I would acquire, in quotes, many things from working at bars. Jewelry, coats, umbrellas.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
People were just too drunk or too rich to care, and they would just leave them at the bar at the end of the night and never come back and get them.
Yeah.
You have a friend who's a cab driver, and some drunk chick left a...
her virginity.
No, it was like a bracelet or a necklace in the back of the... back of the cab. She lost it. She had borrowed it from a jeweler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like she needed to be punished.
Yes.
Yeah. Put sounds in like Marissa or something. Was her. I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead.
No, there's currently there's a purse on the table in the kitchen. So
are you serious?
Yeah, I'm going to go grab it.
Yeah, it's up for grabs.
It's up for grabs.
Go grab it.
Tell Marcus.
Oh, yeah. I remember what I was going to tell you. I lost my rangefinder again.
Oh, are you kidding?
Recently, yes.
What?
But I got it back.
Let me ask you a quick question.
It was at Bitterman Golf Club. I left it there.
You got to put your name on that thing.
Aren't there apps now? Are there rangefinder apps?
Yeah, you can get stuff for your, like a watch, but it's not, mine's a laser. It tells you exactly where you are. That's your GPS.
Privileged. Mine's like a general.
Not everyone
vicinity.
Can afford light amplified.
Yeah. I need to get it right on.
Yeah.
Because I can hit my yardages to the yard.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. but anyhow, yeah, I got it mailed back to me, which is wonderful.
That's amazing. Well, look at what happened. No, it's not like we lost it, but the fact that with the bird bot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got, you know, it was picked up by a cop when it was in Minnesota.
Yep.
In the back of the, we were able to find it. Of course, you can't attach GPS devices to everything you lose.
Let me go to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie. Good morning.
Hi. I was calling in, first-time caller.
Oh, awesome.
What's up, Steph?
Yeah, so I was calling in because you guys were talking about having a table at work. That's not like a designated, you know, area, but we have this girl that works with us at the hoarder.
Oh.
And so she, like, physically can't throw anything away. Oh. And so she always brings stuff in and puts it out on the table, and it's a joke because it's always junky stuff that no one wants. So as soon as she walks away, we throw it away.
Oh. Do you think in a way she's kind of relying on you to do it because she can't bring herself to do it?
Yeah, we're like enabling her, you know.
Yeah.
She's like, oh,
yeah.
I'm gonna put this here.
Yeah, maybe she.
Like, oh my gosh,
she can't bring it. She can't bring herself to waste things, but maybe giving it to someone else is a way to ease out of it.
Right.
And you guys are throwing her junk away for her.
Yeah, ridiculous, like Christmas ornaments, or she brought in like just ridiculous things, like crafts her kids made when they were little.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so it's like just junks up the table, and we're like, oh, okay, yeah, that looks great. And then she walks away, and we're like, get rid of it.
This is adorable. Throw it out. Mm-hmm. No, I hear you.
Every once in a while, there'll be something that somebody wants. But
working with a hoarder has got to be a blast.
Yeah. Let me go to, we're going to take a break in just a second here, but I'm going to go to Justin. He went to her sinus case.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Justin. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
So I worked there. I went there, and I worked there since I was like 16, too. My dad worked for facilities.
And in the summertime, we would, all the kids would leave, and it was just free reign. So we'd have summer help, and we'd all just run to these dorms and just start picking through everything. I mean, we found beer lights. We found, you know, certain toys.
What's the biggest ticket item you found? Like a TV?
Oh, yeah, TVs. They were easy.
Yeah.
Anything like TV. A PS4 or a bike or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. All Why right. was it yours?
No, yeah. No.
A lot of vibrators and TVs.
Any piss-stained couches? Because I left a couple of those.
Yeah, there was plenty of them. It was amazing what you guys left behind, though. It was so much crap. It was unreal. And
was it your job to clean it out, or would you just were you going in to take stuff?
We just went in to take it.
All right.
Well, quick question. If money was discovered, what do you do with money that's left in the dorm?
We just pocketed it.
Yeah.
Show in your pocket.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
Is that
the
understanding?
Left it. They're gone. I mean, they're gone for the summer, and they left it in their room behind for people like Justin to come in and clean it up, or me when I got in trouble.
Yeah.
No, I guess.
Yeah. All the sorority houses always left booze in their cabinets.
Yep.
There you go.
So it was a heyday.
I guess it's like, thanks for your call, Justin. I guess it's like, you know, hotel staff. If you leave change, that's for housekeeping.
Yeah.
They can
were you finding like fold money or?
Oh, sure.
Really?
And people, I'm telling you, like, people were just freaking lazy. It's astounding, but they just didn't clean out drawers. And in those drawers, you'd find everything from complete trash and garbage, which you would toss, and then just bills. Yeah.
Well, it is move in day. We talked about that earlier of a dorm room. So maybe in a few months from now, people will be picking up some freebies. Keep in mind, though, if you do visit WMMR on the kitchen table, don't put anything on it.
Don't.
Unless you want it gone. Then it's a good spot to get rid of things if you want to. You know, murder weapons.
Yes, everything.
We could put them on there and they'd be gone in a heartbeat.
Motion lotion.
Getting rid of evidence.
Yeah. Yeah, that's our evidence table. Nice. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. I have some bizarre file stories I think you're going to enjoy in a little bit. We're also going to have I do want to remind you, your last chance to text in, because in a little bit we'll do a winner for our secret text word tickets to see Godsmack and Shinedown with Red Sun Rising at BB&T Pavilion. It's on Sunday. So text word secret to 39333. Let's see if you win in a little bit. We'll be right back.
Throughout 2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rockin' Philly. Keep listening for special birthday events and special programming from our long, strange trip together. Every hour this weekend, we highlight 1994, the year MMR turned 26. It was the year of the great Green Day mud fight at Woodstock 94. The birth of Amazon and Yahoo online and PlayStation in your home. On TV, we were introduced to Friends. While at the movies, we saw The Shawshank Redemption, Forrest Gump, and Pulp Fiction.
This is a tasty burger.
MMR had new music from these bands: Green Day, Soundgarden, Nine Inch Nails, Pearl Jam, Beastie Boys, STP, Weezer, Live, Tom Petty, Alice in Chains, Toadies, Beck, Pink Floyd, Korn, The Offspring, Bush, R.E.M., Woo, and so many more from 1994, including Nirvana, Unplugged. Listen all weekend as we highlight another page from our scrapbook of shared musical memories.
Sponsored by Thompson Toyota. Experience the Thompson difference at thompsontoyota.net.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
We were just talking about the free stuff table a little while ago, and you know, in your office. And Marissa has posted on Instagram a picture of our table and some of the items that have made their way there.
Oh, like a little chronology at times, of items past.
Three different pictures. One of them is of Nick's discarded booze. Another one is of somebody cleaned house of CDs.
Yes.
And then there's another one when we cleaned out our porn box.
Oh, my God. There's so much porn.
And these are mainly like sex items, like the penis mold and blow-up dolls and things like that. So, and we put that stuff out there, and somebody took the penis mold.
Yeah.
I don't know who it was, but somebody did. So if you're interested as to what that area looks like.
I took it.
Here at MMR. Kathy, I knew it.
I took the penis mold.
I knew you'd come around. Here's what I'd like to do. Normally at the end of this segment, I ask for the secret text word winner. I'm not going to do that.
What?
I'm going to ask for it now. And then we'll get it on the back end of the bizarre file. Oh, how about God. That? Kathy, give me a number. Call her, please.
21.
All right, call her 21.
You crazy man.
Call her 21 at 215-263-WMMR. Why do you do that?
What?
Why do you do that? So normally when we'll have a commercial break and then a song to play, you'll go car 3.
But I thought we were going to do a segment, so you wanted it to be larger.
I'm doing the bizarre file.
Yeah.
Bizarre file's not as long as
someone's in the doghouse now.
All right. 215-263-WMMR. Call number 21, I believe. All right, let's do the bizarre file. Case, I need you to eject the traffic music.
Eject it.
And let's do it.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by the Center for Healing Addiction Treatment Center. Try a different approach to addiction treatment. Log on to center4healing.com and discover freedom over addiction. A woman has revealed that she canceled her dream wedding just a week before the big day after discovering her fiancé watched pornography.
Oh, my God.
Excuse
me if I chuckle.
Claire Dalton's ex kept the habit secret from her throughout their four-year relationship, and she was so shocked that
I watched one video of a man touching some woman's boobies.
And she called off the marriage, despite having spent 6 months planning
it. So what kind of porn are we talking? Is it a regular general stuff, or is it German sadism porn?
I don't have the details on that. The 21-year-old is very religious and said that she has been dreaming of a relationship which was, quote, true and pure and governed by God's law.
I knew that word was going to be in there.
Pure. Since she was a young girl.
I think we go to some pretty pure sites.
I think so. What's not pure about dog fart?
Come on.
She thought that she'd found
that's
that.
How we discovered Mandingo.
With her unnamed fiancé, whom she split with from a year ago, but now believes that it was all a lie from the beginning.
You're a liar.
Just a week before the wedding. Claire, who's a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and her fiancé were running errands for their big day, and she checked his phone to see if a shop was still open.
A liar.
But when she saw his search bar, she realized that he had been, quote, searching for pornography possibly just hours ago. And immediately she felt sick to her stomach. At first, her husband-to-be lied and said that his brother had borrowed his phone.
It has something to do with birds. This says cuckold.
No, this is a. He said, "No, it was my brother. He borrowed my phone."
Sure.
Before later admitting that it's me, I have a problem. She added, "At first, I thought that it was some sick joke. It never occurred to me that pornography addiction would ever leak into my life or affect me in such a deep and excruciating way."
But those two young women did with that cup.
I mean, I would imagine that this guy's search was like. Married couple making love.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hot divorcee.
After hearing him admit the truth, Claire decided to call off the wedding, had to call every one of her 300 guests and break the news.
No condom sex.
But she said that it wasn't so much the porn.
She gave the reason for it?
It wasn't so much the porn, which was the problem, but it was the fact that he had lied to it or
okay.
to her. About it for all these years.
They can't work their way through that, though.
God, man.
Apparently not.
I have somebody who's having a little bit of trouble in their marriage, and somebody who you guys might know called me almost in tears to tell me, "We found out something about them. Call me back." And I called her back. I'm like, what? I thought, like, he was dying, or he was
ISIS.
A drug addict, or, like, he said he's watching porn. I was like, "Ma, are you serious? Like, are you kidding me?
Do you listen to our show?"
Yeah, I'm watching porn right now. Yeah.
But I'm not kidding you. Like, my mother was in tears over this.
Really?
Like, almost like, I swear, I thought someone was dying.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, I want to hear more of this story after this.
I mean, I'm having a problem right now because I can't find the scene that I've been looking for.
It's like this. wait, Mom. Yeah. Mom, let me turn this down. Wait one second. What is this, Mom? Wait, turn that down. What's the problem?
Hold on. I can't hear you.
Oh, my God.
I can't hear. What's that, Mom? Someone's porn? What's that?
So you can't find this one scene. You've been looking for it for a while.
Oh, I can't find it. It's
okay.
Tom Byron. It's the final scene of Backdoor
to Buttsville. Tom Bergeron?
No.
Tom Byron.
Oh. Tom Byron. Yeah. It's the final scene of Backdoor to Buttsville. I used to have it on my friend of mine used to have it on VHS.
Casey?
Yes.
We'll tackle this together.
You will do that with me?
You've got a friend.
Yep, we'll do it.
When you think you've got a friend.
All right.
Backdoor to Buttsville.
The Beer Mile World Classic Now, you know the beer mile. We actually have done the beer mile before. Bill didn't like
it. Got in trouble for it.
I don't like it.
Make sure they drink fake beer.
Safety risk.
O'Doul's beer mile.
Make sure it's O'Doul's.
And don't actually do the race and don't even put out the beer, but then you can do it.
Well, this year, the Beer Mile World Classic took place on Saturday at Corey Belmore. A guy named Corey Belmore had set a new world record for the fastest time to finish a race, but he barely had time to celebrate his victory when officials ruled that he didn't drink enough beer while racing around the track. The race requires each contestant to drink a total of 4 12-ounce beers before getting to the finish line, one at every quarter mile.
He cheated.
No, Belmore reportedly left more than 4 ounces total in the bottles along the route.
Can't do that.
He left 1 ounce in each, in each bottle, roughly. His time was 4 minutes, 24 seconds. Damn, that dude ran an under 5-minute mile and chugged 4 beers. But he left about 4.5 ounces of beer behind, which disqualified him. The second place finisher, Dale Clutterbuck.
Clutterbuck?
Yeah.
I want that last name.
Was awarded the win instead with a time of 4 minutes, 47 seconds.
There's a hockey player with that last name, and he's got a great mustache.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cuddlebuck?
Or
Clutterbuck.
Clutterbuck, yeah.
Clutterbuck. All right. Mount Mushmore.
Mount Mushmore.
Running in heels is not the wisest choice. Kathy, you ever tried to run in heels?
No, yes.
Some still try. An unidentified...
From the cops. No, I'm just kidding.
An unidentified woman who tried to prove that she could run quickly in heels on Saturday morning had nearly crossed Interstate 35 after leaving a bar in Austin, Texas, when she was hit by an SUV.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's okay. She survived, but she's... required surgery to stop the bleeding in her brain. Police said she...
Okay. Ooh! We just saw the video.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Play it back. Play it back, guys.
Oh, my God.
No,
I don't
wanna... oh, my God. Yikes.
Dude, she gets run
watch it.
Over.
Boom.
Oh.
She tried to stop, she slipped and fell, and the car ran up onto her. But it looks like the car doesn't hit her head.
Her
head hit the bumper and then the ground.
Okay. Yikes. Luckily, her head hit the ground.
Anyway, the driver was charged with failure to stop and render aid. The guy left after that?
Oh, really?
Was she okay?
She had bleeding on the brain. She had to get
surgery. She's okay now. Her dream is to go visit Mount Mushmore.
Mount Mushmore.
Wow. All right, one last story, and then we'll wrap it up. A man in New Jersey had to be rescued by dozens of firefighters on Saturday morning after he fell off a footbridge above the Great Falls in Paterson. Firefighters say the man hung onto rocks and vegetation at the base of a concrete wall for at least an hour as bystanders called for help. He told his rescuers he had dropped his cell phone and he was trying to retrieve it.
Oh, was it worth it?
When he took the fall, it is unknown if he got his phone, but he was luckily only taken to the hospital with minor injuries. Yep, and there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, so we will look for a winner. We were looking for caller number 21 for our secret text word, and I'm going to go to caller Antonio on the line. Hey, Antonio. Good morning.
How's it going?
Good, buddy. All right, do you know the secret text word, sir?
I do. It's extravaganza.
You got
it.
Extravaganza. And we got some tickets for you to go see Godsmack and Shinedown with special guest Red Sun Rising at the BB&T Pavilion on Sunday, my man. Congratulations, okay?
Awesome. Yeah, sure.
All right, buddy. And then don't forget that tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. Listen to Brent Porsche. He's in for Jackson this week, and you got more chances to win and to qualify for a meet and greet with Shinedown. Also an autographed guitar, free parking, and some food while at the show. Plus... stop at the MMR concert coverage booth on Sunday. It's your shot to win our slick Godsmack signed guitar and drum head. And we also want to congratulate our random texter is John Strom, who is from Woodbury, New Jersey. And he gets the same prize of tickets to go to the show this weekend. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second and we'll ask the lesson question. See if you've been paying attention. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
So let me see. A quick reminder. We are looking for girls to grace the pages of our Totally Office calendar this year. Kathy is in the process of gathering information and photos and all that stuff. And you might be one of the ladies that we're looking for. You can get the information, details, at WMMR.com.
Don't wait, though. Send the pictures now.
Yeah, really. It comes upon us so quickly that next thing you know, we're going, oh, by the way, next Tuesday is the photo shoot.
Yeah.
And we're like, really?
To that point, whatever you have, and honestly, take some pictures, because we've been doing this long enough, and the people that we work with know what we're looking for, and they know what to pick. We just, it'd be a shame if you could have made the calendar and didn't submit.
Yeah, so PrestonandSteve.com, there's a link right on the front, and you can send over pictures and information, all the stuff they ask for. And you never know, you might be at one of our events, which would be a great time. It would be awesome to have you. All right, so we're going to do today's lesson question. We're going to have a pair of tickets to see Dane Cook. He's coming to town Friday, September 7th. Sorry. Hey, listen, in this day and age,
It could be.
No, but it's Friday, September 7th at the Hard Rock in Atlantic City. And the question is, Steve's wife makes one hell of a what? Well, it was a real quick throwaway.
Very obscure.
Let's see if you know it. Steve's wife makes one hell of a what? Don't bother guessing. You'll never get it. It's so bizarrely random. Forget it. Only if you heard it. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. And while you are calling in to give that answer, we are going to do the Hollywood Trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, this morning, the Hollywood Trash is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. And you can fuel your summer with iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts starting at $2. America runs on Dunkin', excludes cold brew, plus applicable taxes. Participation may vary. And limited time offer. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Nabisco announcing that the circus animals depicted on the Animal Crackers box will no longer be in cages. Nabisco says it wants the box to be more accurately depicting of today's circus culture and will also include pictures of ex-con clowns addicted to meth.
Hey!
Mark David Chapman, the man who shot and killed John Lennon, is scheduled to have his 10th parole board hearing in New York this week. Chapman knows it's going to be an uphill battle for him, but says his secret weapon will be, quote, freshly baked apple cobbler.
Oh,
oh my God.
He's going to try to work him a little bit. And finally, Women's Day Australia suggesting that Paris Hilton's wedding might very well have been canceled. The magazine says that because Australia is on the other side of the world, people have yet to completely not give a crap. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty. We'll see if we know the answer to this lesson question. Steve's wife makes one hell of a what? And I will go to Chris. Try him out. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great, man. So Steve's wife makes one hell of a what?
Tapasanka.
Sanka.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's written up here, Shanka, which is what they serve in prison.
Hang on, we'll get your information. And was Sanka decaf?
Yes.
Okay. Since you got that right, we are going to give you some tickets to see Dane Cook Friday, September 7th, Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Let us do music news. Here we go.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
John Stamos.
Brought to you this morning by the Center for Healing Addiction Treatment Center. Try a different approach to addiction treatment. Log on to center4healing.com and discover freedom over addiction. Speaking of freedom over addiction, we'll go to the story about Stone Sour guitarist Josh Rand. He's admitted that staying sober on tour has been more challenging than he had expected.
We were just talking about that.
Rand revealed, I'm a guy that needs structure, and there was definitely times when the temptation was there, and it was a challenge, but I have a great support group within the band and the people that work for us, and then my fiance came out midway through, so that was the extra support, but it was a little bit more difficult than what I thought going into it. He left Stone Sour last January to get treatment for an alcohol and Xanax dependency. After finishing the treatment in April, Rand admitted that he was first prescribed Xanax 8 years ago for anxiety related to flying. He said, over the course of the last couple of years, I started drinking. And when we started touring, I was basically day drinking, but not drinking to get messed up, just to maintain, I guess, or to be able to cope and to have this buzz. So it's been a struggle, but he's doing okay with it. The band will release a deluxe edition of its sixth studio album, 2017's Hydrograd, on August 31st. Nine Inch Nails members Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross have been tapped to compose the score for mid-90s, a new film coming out later this year that will mark the directing debut of actor Jonah Hill. The coming-of-age tale, which stars Sonny Soljak, Lucas Hedges, and Catherine Watterson, will premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival on September 9th before opening in theaters on October 19th. It was revealed last month that Reznor and Ross are also scoring a film called Waves from director Trey Edward Schultz.
About the driving app?
No, Waves.
Oh.
The pair previously collaborated on acclaimed film scores for The Social Network, Gone Girl, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Patriot's Day, and Before the Flood, as well as Ken Burns' series, The Vietnam War. And they both won an Oscar and a Golden Globe for The Social Network. So they're continuing to thrive in that venue. British act Bring Me the Horizon has released a new single. It's called Mantra. And with singer Oli Sykes telling the BBC Radio 1 about the track, it felt like the first thing that we wanted to show people upon our return. But when asked if the single's arrival meant that the new album was imminent, he said, I don't want to say. We're definitely working on stuff. We've got something exciting to announce in the next few days. Sykes says that the music he and his bandmates are working on is completely different from their last album. That's the spirit, hinting we want to be a heavy band, but not in the way you think of heavy. And then finally, Steve Van Zandt has just announced the release of a Blu-ray and 7LP vinyl version of his just-released triple-disc Soulfire Live CD. Rolling Stone reported that, along with the material culled from Van Zandt's 2017 European tour, the new version, due out later this year, will also include Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul's Beatles covers show that took place at Liverpool's Cavern Club. Among the highlights in the collection are Richie Sambora tackling Marvin Gaye's Can I Get a Witness?
Huh.
And Bruce Springsteen on 10th Avenue Freeze Out and also I Don't Want to Go Home. Little Steven and the Disciples of Souls are heading out on tour in October. They'll be in our general vicinity at the Hard Rock on October 23rd, by the way. And that's what I have for you this morning. That is music news. Let's take a break. We'll get back in a moment. And letter of the day, I'll bring you up to speed on the Word of the Week prize if you do not know what that is. And then we'll make way for Pierre. We'll be back in just a moment.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Stupid. You know what? Stupid? Stupid is working for a jerk for $3 an hour. I must be stupid. 7 years of my life, you whole you.
Next message.
Oh, hi, everybody. My name's Nikki, and I just turned 18, and I've never been hornier ever. Oh, boy.
Next message.
Scooby bop bop ba doo bop bop. My neighbors are a piece of scooby bop bop ba doo bop bop. Woo!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.